that my chief director is going to present. While the document contains responses of the questions, obviously that was as a result from your visit to the province earlier this year, and I must take this opportunity, Chair, once more to apologize not to be part of that meeting. I was told at a very late hour that I was expected to be part of that meeting, and at that time I had other engagements in the province. But all the same, I think I am here today in front of the committee ready to respond to whatever question that the committee might want to ask us as the province and as staff. Chairperson and members, there's no doubt that for the country in general to be able to feed the nation, we need to perfect our approaches and investment in agriculture and farming in general. We must fully exploit all the opportunities in food production and set our people's mental attitude to regard to agriculture as a serious economic activity in the battle to fight against the triple challenges, which are obviously the poverty, unemployment and inequality. As part of impacting this positive economic sense and economic approach to agriculture amongst the youth, the province of Mpumalanga established a Fortune 40 Young Farmer Incubation Program. Very beautiful program that is encouraging our young people to go back and till the land, especially that when we talk about poverty and unemployment, the majority of the people that are employed are young people. The provincial government further introduced the government nutrition program to create a market for all our smallholder farmers, including all production from Fortune 40 farmers. The resolution of the Executive Council to introduce the government nutrition program is formed by the desire to bring practical meaning to radical economic transformation. This means that the nutrition needs of our government departments and entities should be served through model that fully supports the development of agriculture in the province, particularly the small farmers. Well, Chair and members, I must say that as a new MEC in the department, I'm no longer that much new now. I'm 8 months in the department now. There are a number of changes that we have done in the department. Amongst the changes that have affected in the province is that all along we have been having a program called Asibuyele Masimini. When I sat down with the officials and the department in a strategic meeting, I said they've been going back to Masimini for a very long time. For us to practicalize this particular good initiative, let us change the concept now to Phezukomkhonomlimi. Phezukomkhonomlimi means let us practicalize what we have been saying, what we have been preaching to our people, that they must go back and till the land. Thinking of our people are almost based on what you teach them, what you say to them. If you will always say Asibuyele Masimini, Asibuyele Masimini. Before me, I think in the department we had about 4 or 5 MECs that were saying one and the same thing, Asibuyele Masimini, Asibuyele Masimini, like a record with a scratch. So I said no.
in my time as a new leader, phezu komkhono mlimi, and we're doing very well. There are challenges in the department. The presenter or the official that is going to present will go into details to those issues, like when you visited our province, you find that there were tractors broken and so on and so on. And when I arrived in the department, I said, "All we must make an audit of all these tractors. Check what is their problem and what is the program of the department to try and address that particular problem." One of the issues that I've identified, for starters, they bought a bad brand for the province, which was called Foton. And Foton is a Chinese product. Not that I'm undermining products from China, but I'm saying it was a product that is meant to plow rice in a soft soil in China. And in our case, our soil is very hard. You need a certain type of tractors that will be able to plow the kind of soil or land that we have. So we've done an auditing, and the reason behind is to dispose all those tractors and fix some of them that can be fixed, like your Ford, your John Deere, your Landine, and so on. Some of them, they just short of starters and other things that are broken. Well, we have a challenge with vets in our province. And unfortunately, we have a decision in the province, a cabinet decision, that of a moratorium. Well, that particular challenge have an impact in terms of employing a necessary skill. But I've prepared a memo to the cabinet to raise this particular matter so that they give us an opportunity to get some of the vets. One other challenge which was raised by the committee was the whole issue of Marapiane College. Well, when I arrived there, I find that the college was closed around 2012 or 2011, around that particular year. And I looked at that facility myself, and I said, it's a waste of money, and it's a waste of resources. So we are reopening the college. We've already started in preparations to make sure that we reopen it. And the thinking behind of reopening the college is that our people, it's not everybody in the vicinity of Mpumalanga that can go to university to do agriculture. But by reopening that college, we will be able to give our people skills around issues of agriculture. We'll remember that some of our people were working on the commercial farmers way back, but they do not have the necessary skills. So we want to skill them through that particular college. Just to share my vision with the committee members, Chair, it's not only Marapiane College, because if you look at Marapiane College, it's at the far, far end of the province. A person from Gomas and from Lowveld, it will not be easy for them to go to Marapiane for training. So I've engaged the cabinet that I want to reopen or to take over Elijah Mango College and turn it into agricultural college in the province, so that we are able to assist people in the end or at the end of the province around your Lowveld, your Hestbande, and other regions in the province. Well, the Fortune 40 is a very, very beautiful program. I think members have seen themselves, young people at work. That particular project or program is very, very robust in the province. We have about 16 Fortune funds in our province, made out of different cooperatives of young people. And I've already mentioned that we do have a market for them as the provincial government. Well, we also have challenges around engineers. Well, this is a scarce skill, not only in the province, nationally. It's a matter that we need to bring our heads together with the minister at national level and see how do we address it. Because without them, I can tell you, we will not be able to realize the very beautiful visions that we have as different provinces. To ensure that our small farmers become active participants in agricultural economy of the province, we are establishing 3 agri-parks. One in Dr. J.S. Moroka in Kangala, one in Mkondo in Gersbande region, another one in Bushbuck Ridge, Eshamsini. Chairperson, I'm not going to waste the committee members' time. With the permission of the chairperson and the committee, I will then give my chief director to give administratively the presentation around those matters. Thank you so much.
Thank you, MEC. As the chief director is going to present, you must indicate who you are, because you don't have to say chief director. Must know Mr. So-and-so. And then let me take the opportunity to welcome the chair of chairs from Mpumalanga Legislature. You're welcome, Mr. Skotswana. You can participate. You are allowed to participate and ask the question. You're part of us. You are not part of them. So you can ask them questions if you want, or you can clarify certain things as you've been engaging with them as a provincial legislature. You're welcome to. Over to you, Chief Director.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to present the responses from the province together with the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. My name is Manda Dagada from the Mpumalanga province. I am with Mr. Sulinda, Chief Director responsible for District Services and Farmer Support. I'm also going to present together with Ms. Elda Chin from DAF. We are going to co-present together. Thank you very much. The first question that the committee raised was on the issue of providing more detailed information on the project where we provided the profile during the committee's visit. And I'm going to go through those projects and the information that we have added as requested by the committee. The first project was Allendale Fortune 40, which already Honorable MEC has already indicated the program that we have. This is the project of young people where we have 19 youth, and 5 of them are female and 14 are males. And they are in the production of mango and vegetable, the cash crops. What we have done is that the project we were planning to implement or to develop 10 hectares of irrigation, and also doing the fencing and the mechanization and the admin block with accommodation. Total investment done to date is 2,031,000. The source of funding is CASP. they do have the market, as already MEC has indicated, the government nutrition, which started on the 1st of June. So all everything that they are producing is already purchased by the government nutrition. Already 10 hectares has been fenced, and also the drip irrigation has been put. By the time this report was being prepared, half a hectare of tomato has been planted and they were selling. To date, honorable members, they have already planted on the 10 hectare of cabbage, onions and tomatoes for the same market of the government nutrition. So they are also receiving training for 3 years as per the program of Fortune 40. Second project is Champagne Citrus. On this project, members will recall that they couldn't visit it that day. But however, what we were planning to do in this project was to repair the irrigation system and replanting the 60 hectare of citrus and lining the dam and also mechanization and also establishing the 11 hectare of vegetable. So this project started in 2009, and by 2013, most of infrastructure has been completed, and it was funded through CASP and RECAP from Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. So they are producing mango, citrus, and vegetables, and they have created 104 jobs. So in terms of implementing the infrastructure that we planned, all infrastructure were completed in 2013, and current status is that it is operational, and the farm manager was appointed by the department for the period of 2 years in order to transfer the skills. So there was a full-time manager in the farm. So, however, currently, as I will give more details as I go on, the farm has been leased on the 70-30 basis to a private farmer working with them. However, this proposal is receiving attention to be revised to 49-51% with farmers having the majority shares. Third project is Huntington Peck House. Members, honorable members, visited this farm or this project where there are beneficiaries, 21, 7 of them are females and 14 are males. They are in the business of producing vegetables. So this is the peck house where they peck their produce. So the activities planned there, the peck house, guard house, ablution facility, borehole, septic tank and boundary fencing. So the project was started in March 2016 and completed in May 2017. As I'm talking now, it is completed. Total investment is 9 million. Source of fund was from Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. But the market, they are also in the market of government nutrition in the province. What is happening with these honorable members is that the mega in the province, they've leased this facility, and they are in partnership with the farmers, and also they are using it for the farmers to bring in their inputs, I mean their produce, before they are distributed to schools and hospitals. Next project is Commerce West Maize Mill, which was visited by the honorable members. It is going to benefit 500 people, 288 of which are females and 212 are males, and is going to mill the maize which is going to be produced from the area in Nkomazi, especially from Magogeni and Boschfontein. So the activities planned were the fencing of the project, the guard room, the way bridge, jojo tank, borehole construction, mill structure, and also flooring and roofing. Project started in 2011 and it will be completed in 2017. Total investment made so far, by the time the report was being done, it was 741 through CASP. And the market, Litabo Maize Milling, what is going to happen on this maize mill is that they do have a market for it, but also we are going to use it for the school nutrition. They have created 16 jobs during the construction, And then in terms of progress, the fencing of 2 hectare project, guard room, warehouse, Georgia tank, borehole, construction of maize mill, flooring and roofing completed. In other words, the activities which we planned to do in this phase is completed. However, we still have to do phase 3 this year, which is equipping the maize mill and also putting the silos and a budget has been put there for this year to complete these activities. Honorable members, the next project is Flag Plus Fortune 40, which is for the cooperative called Pixley Family. Here they are in the business of livestock production and fodder. As you know that during the drought, last drought, we have learned the lesson, and we in the province we are starting to encourage farmers to produce their own fodder and also to sell to their neighboring farmers. So the project activities were animal handling facility, park homes for accommodation, boreholes and water reticulation. Project started in 2016, June, and it was supposed to be completed in October 2016. Total investment is 1,600,000. CASP is the source of funding. The market is current beef and action in MLO. These arrangements and the agreements have been arranged and done and is in place. 13 jobs during construction were created. The project is complete, honorable members. Currently, the farmers are receiving training for 3 years as per the program of Fortune 40. Marapiane College is the next project. The beneficiaries here, we couldn't put the number, but all farmers in the province who will need to be trained. And it's about training and the project activities, upgrading of and maintenance of college classroom, admin block, construction of vet clinic, feedlot, and poultry houses and tunnels. So far, the investment done is 25 million. Through CASP in DAF and equitable share from the province. Market, local youth and farmers, of course, in the surrounding areas. Progress. All activities I have mentioned are completed. They just now need maintenance. As Honorable MC has indicated that the college was closed, so there are some facilities which are dilapidated and need to be renovated. We indicated the status that it is closed, though we are reopening it. So currently the department can not use all the facilities available. Almost 50% of them remain underutilized, hence the dilapidation that I have indicated. But as I have indicated, we have budgeted 5 million to rehabilitate everything in the yard. Next project is Fals Fontein in Siyabuso. This is a mobile clinic which was donated by DAF to the province. Currently, as I'm talking, it has got 14 officials who are working there, and it is being used by the farmers in that area. So the department has made an allocation of 250 from CASP to equip the clinic to make sure that it has got all necessary facilities. Next project is Kalk Bank Amersfoort, which has the beneficiaries, 6 beneficiaries, 3 females and 3 males. It is in the business of livestock and grain production. Activities that we have planned to do through rural development is to purchase 97 cows, 5 bulls, 15 merino rams, 450 merino ewes, a tractor, planter, baler and drinking and feeding troughs through Department of Agriculture, purchase of cattle and sheep, medication, fencing of 5 hectare mechanization. Project started in 2012 and envisaged to be completed by 2016. Total investment made so far is 5,970,000. Source of funding is CASP and MESP. MESP, honorable members, is Masiwiel Esivayen project is in home or livestock production, and also recap from rural development. So their market is auction in MLO and Suffolk. They have created 28 jobs, progress. Cattle have been purchased and sheep and medication feed, production inputs, 5 hectares has been fenced, planter, tractors, baler, feeding and drinking troughs have been completed, and mechanization and support provided. In other words, what we planned to do in this project, we have completed. So the recap policy that requires appointment of mentor prior to the release of funds, so they were supposed to be done, that one, monopolized market and market transaction costs. These are the challenges that the project is facing. So, but however, establishment of fresh produce market by Mpumalanga government and selling in the groups and large quantities will assist this project to have more market and to expand their business. Honorable member, the last one on this section is Vukuzenzele Bankis in Standerton. It has got 7 beneficiaries, 4 females and 4 and 3 males. They are in business of livestock and grains development or production. Project activity, that one Guni cattle and mechanization support. Project was implemented in 2013. Total investments was 380,000. Funding through Masvile Svayeni market. They sell to auction in Suffolk. They've created 7 jobs. And the current status, they are in operation but with challenges. And these are the challenges. The lease has expired, the poor infrastructure and inadequate capacity within the project. However, the matter has been referred to the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to intervene. Farmers applied for recap and will be considered in the Mentors HEAP program of the department. So these were the additional information that the honorable members really wanted. The next item was in case of the proactive land acquisition strategy, which is PLUS. There are 2 farms from the list that I have read, honorable members. There are 2 farms which have been acquired through PLUS, and that is Mark Kohavi project and Vukuzenzele project. The committee requested further information in terms of the extent of the hectare, the purchase price, year of purchase, occupation of the on the year, infrastructure available on the purchase, status of the lease, recap received, strategic partner appointed, amount to be paid to the strategic partner, and also indicate who employed the strategic partner. So on the first project, we indicated that it is 1,700 hectare in extent, and it has been purchased for 5,120,000 in 2008, and it was occupied the same year, and infrastructure was part of the purchase, and the status of the lease is that it has expired. It did receive CAP, and Department of Rural Development named Mr. Johannes Hendrik to be a mentor from 2012 to 2013, and he was receiving 5,000 monthly as an amount of remuneration. So they were appointed by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. And the second project, Vukuzenzele, is 947 hectare in extent. It was purchased for 8,200,000 in 2008, and the farmers occupied it in 2009. There was no infrastructure in place. The lease has expired. It never received recap, and there's no strategic partner, and no amount is paid to any strategic partner because there's no one there. In case of Fortune 40, the committee requested to know the accreditation status of the training that is offered to the incubators, including linkage with institution of higher learning. The province is therefore responding that the training that is being given to these incubators or young farmers is AgriCeta accredited with unit standard of 3 to 4, depending on the level of the farmers where we find them. These are learnership programs in management and precision agriculture. The department therefore validates the contact and give approval of the training provider through incubator before any training is offered. This means that by the time they finish this term, farmers will also be having the certificate with AgriCeta accreditation. In terms of exit strategy, the committee wanted to know the exit strategy for the youth after the training period. The Fortune 40 youth will it dictates that youth will be assessed at the end of 3 years, and it is at that time that the department and the province will determine whether it needs to exit or not, because the main objective of this program is that we need to create or we need to develop farmers up to the level of commercial farmers. It therefore needs that we need to equip them with both infrastructure, production knowledge, and also business acumen. Recruitment. The committee wanted to know how are they identified, by whom, and the employment status of the incubator contract period. On this one, the respondent, Honorable Chair, says, regarding the recruitment of incubators, the department works with community structures to identify unemployed youth in agriculture. And what we did as the department is that we also work very closely with the local municipalities. Once selected, the youth with common interests are assisted to register a cooperative through which they will be incubated on and off on how to handle farming business and business transition. On this one, Honorable Chair, the main issue here is to find or to get young people who are having passion in agriculture or in farming. The recruitment of incubator, it was an open competitive bidding process which was advertised in the official government tender bulletin. The bids were evaluated by the Bid Adjudication Committee and recommends for approval to the accounting officer. The incubators are contracted for the period of 3 years. In terms of how much are they paid and by whom, the incubators are paid an hourly rate of 480 per hour per cooperative and are allocated 160 hours per month. This rate is market related as determined by the DPSA on consultants and rates guidelines. Although, Honorable Member, I need to indicate that these always fluctuate because they review, DPSA review them from time to time. So what which is 480, you might find that now is 475 or is 481, but it is in the same bracket. So this is what we pay them on rates. What are the conditions of their employment? The incubators, they have to display knowledge and experience in agriculture. Either they have worked as farmers themselves or they have worked in the business of farming environment before so that they can mentor and incubate these young farmers. In their work, is their work evaluated? If so, by whom? The committee wanted to know. Each project is monitored by the district coordinator. In each district, there is a coordinator who is responsible for Fortune 40, who have to monitor the work by the incubators and issues of concern, which the coordinator can find. They are discussed in a steering committee meeting, which has been set, that monitors the implementation and also look at the policy and strategic issues of the program. There is also an oversight by the Portfolio Committee for Agriculture within the province. They also do oversight and see where the program is lacking, and also we adjust in terms of what the incubator is supposed to be doing. However, the difference from strategic partner, that is the Rural Development and Plus Project and Community Property Association. Here the committee wanted to know the difference between these incubators and strategic partners. The response here, Honorable Chair, is that the Rural Development Strategic Partners operate on shareholding and profit sharing, while in incubation Fortune 40, they have got no shares and they don't share the profit. They are merely incubating and they get paid on their hourly rates as per the hours that they have worked. Other issues and specific projects, the committee wanted to know that both DAF and provincial department should ensure that their responses are specific and deliverables have time frames. This has been noted by the province and DAF, and in our responses we have tried to make sure that we include those. 2.2, Chairperson, during the briefing meeting, the provincial department repeatedly indicated to the portfolio committee that a study was in progress, in the process of being undertaken in order to indicate which commodities and areas should the provincial department focus on. This is understood by the portfolio committee to already have been placed through APAP and RAVAC plans that DAF has presented on several occasions to the portfolio committee. In this regard, the province should indicate how their plans are aligned with national priorities and plans to avoid duplication in the light of the scarce financial resources. The response, therefore, honorable members, is that the province has an alignment to national priorities. The department is focusing on all value chain commodities that have competitive advantage in the province. It's through APAP that we have learned that there are commodities that we are competitive on, and those are the ones we are focusing in each region. The department has a turnaround strategy which has been developed along APAP, and in each district is focusing on commodities of APAP, indicated those districts that has competitive advantage on. Here is an indication of what APAP is indicating in terms of our competitiveness. In Gertsiland, we focus more on the red meat value chain because we are very strong in terms of livestock production there. In Kangala and Gertsiland together, we are also focusing on poultry integrated value chain, as we have a lot of cluster poultry production around Nkangala and Tembisi Lehani, and also along the road to Pixley and Pit Retief. That has been influenced by the APAP. Also in Ehlanzeni, we are focusing more on vegetable because they are more on they've got more strength on vegetable, both around Nkomazi area, Mbombela and Bushbuck Ridge. And in terms of forestry, we are focusing more on Gertsibande because more forestry and foresters are found in that area, and they do very well in that area. In terms of aquaculture, due to the issue of, as you know, Mpumalanga is very extremely cold towards Gert and in Kangala, and extremely hot again in the same areas during winter and summer season. But when we come to Ehlanzeni, their temperatures allows aquaculture because it goes up from between 20, 25 up to 28. So that's where we are focusing on aquaculture. Soya beans, our strength is in Gertsiland, and indeed project on soya beans are in that area. Maize, integrated value chain, our strength is in Gertsiland and in Kangala, as we also make the triangle of maize production in the country. The turnaround strategy also assists to ensure that there are no duplication in the planned projects along total value chain in each commodity as per the revitalization of agriculture and agro-processing value chain. Third, DAF should clearly outline the definition of smallholder subsistence and commercial farmers that they have been adopted in relation to the type of support that farmers receive. And additionally, the provincial department should indicate the provincial statistics on the different categories of the farmers.
Thank you, Mr. Dagada. Morning, Chairperson. Honorable members, my name is Elda Mchizo from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. On the response to question around the definition of smallholder, what we have done to guide provinces is that we have worked on the definitions for both smallholder subsistence and commercial. We have included the document in the package as Annexure A, and this was really merely to make sure that the selection and the classification which gets reported to us is standard throughout the country. Not sure if I need to read the definitions, Honorable Member, which has been outlined here, but just as a summary, subsistence is those who produce for household consumption. Smallholder is those who produce both for household and that they have an aspiration and an interest in selling, so they do sell to the market. And commercial produces solely for commercial purposes for the market.
Thank you. The next question, therefore, number five, DAF should appraise the portfolio committee on the progress made regarding the mechanization policy and its implementation in the provinces. The portfolio committee noted that there has been a long-standing issue on the allocation and availability of the tractors utilized by the farmers.
Before question five, maybe just to come to question four, honorable member, a question was saying that DAF should report on its CASP monitoring and evaluation in the Mpumalanga province. As previously, DAF had reported that the MNE unit has been strengthened, and as of 2016-17, with an annual budget of 20 million from CASP solely for monitoring and expenditure and implementation of the funded projects in provinces. Our response is that, yes, indeed, we have a guiding framework on monitoring CASP projects, which states that DAF will monitor 50% of the CASP-funded projects in provinces. What we have shown to the members
What is that? Can you repeat? 50% of what?
According to the monitoring framework, DAF has the responsibility to monitor 50% of the CASP-funded projects, and the province monitors 100%. And that was largely, Chair, on the basis of capacity. Countrywide, we do 500. We had 521 CASP projects that were approved, and we wouldn't be able to be in 500 projects. But we agreed that the province, as the custodian of implementation, will have to make sure that each and every project has a project manager and it's allocated an extension officer, and each and every project which is implemented gets monitored. So the 100% responsibility was the province. We were doing 50% as per the framework. And the table below of the 17 projects...
Who agreed with you for that definition? Because it's not our definition, and that's not how we appropriated money. Can we get, where did you get that mandate?
The previous financial year, Chair, when we were audited, monitoring of CASP project has always been an issue. And if we were to be realistic, because this is a concurrent function, we had to share the responsibility with the provinces. Through the review panels and the EXCO, the framework was approved, which states that 50% of funded projects would be followed up. This is more verification visit on the reports that are done. However, through the review meetings that we hold with provinces, we're able to see the total picture in terms of the reports that are being provided to us. And on a monthly basis, we receive a monthly financial report on all the projects in terms of expenditure for the projects that are being funded.
Which EXCO is that? Which EXCO are you talking about? Province the, National EXCO?
The National EXCO, Chair.
With DG. DG, where did you get the mandate to monitor half of the project of CASP? Because when you requested funds from Treasury, you said that you are going to monitor this. Yes. So where did you get the mandate from CASP to monitor half of the project?
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The articulation that is being given is the agreement within the CASP monitoring framework. And I have got to make an admission that this framework was not passed through the current portfolio committee. What we commit to do is to make sure that then we have got this passed through in terms of taking through the portfolio committee through the tenants that are being used in order for us to monitor CASP. And we have got an agreement in terms of how this has got to be enforced. Chair is correct in terms of the money that we requested from National Treasury that we needed to implement the monitoring and evaluation of CASP. And as we look what transpired during the course of the year, we already have, in terms of the audit findings, one of the findings that says that we didn't stick to the areas that were there. And one of the areas that we really need to tighten is an issue around the monitoring per se, and how we then monitor the whole aspect of CASP. And I commit from my perspective that the new framework that we are going to be presenting would be shared with the portfolio committee. Thank you very much, Chair.
Let's proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Just to demonstrate the effect of monitoring, if we were to achieve 100%, that would also be excellent. For an example, Project 3, which is the Fruit Anchor Project, as we know nationally, we have identified that there's a huge market available for apple production. The province took that information, which was provided by DAF, and identified 7 projects that needed to be developed as apple producers in the province. But when our water experts visited, they identified 7 projects. They identified that there's challenges with water. We are working with the province together with the DAF engineers to sort out the water problem so that we can unlock the investment in apple production in the province. And the, just to inform the PC, is that the criteria we use to select the 50%, we make sure that there's district spread. We make sure that there's a spread per commodity. So the identified commodities of the province, each and every one of them has to be part of the selection that has been taken into consideration when we do the 50%. We consider the total investment that is provided per project, and of course we follow up on problem areas as well as multi-year projects. Then on question 5, we were requested to appraise the portfolio committee on the progress made regarding the mechanization policy and its implementation in provinces. The PC noted that there has been a long-standing issue on the allocation and availability of tractors to be utilized by farmers. There was a specific concern on tractors that were lying unutilized and unaccounted for. The provincial department should brief the PC on the number of tractors that were made available by DAF and give progress on the provincial operational plan regarding such tractors and how this relates to the national and provincial targets on Fefadala food production initiative. Our response is that, yes, the draft mechanization policy, as the portfolio committee is aware, is a document that has not yet been finalized and approved, but it's suggesting that there has to be at least 2 models in terms of approaching mechanization. The delivery model 1, there has to be utilization of local SMMEs by provinces through the credit-led facility. The need to be that needs to support Fezatala and will promote entrepreneurship, employment opportunities, and local beneficiation. There has to be a revolving credit facility which is provided to ensure the success of these SMMEs, and we are proposing a minimum of 2.5 million payment over 5 years. The delivery model 2, which is within the policy, is that the government can operate the mechanization service themselves utilizing the ILEMA LETSEMA funds to support the vulnerable. The use of implementing agencies and providing services to the poor, synchronizing mechanization services with the delivery of inputs. As indicated, the attachment on the policy is Annexure B, which shows progress made with regards to the Fezatala as implemented within Mpumalanga. And I think the Mpumalanga example, Chair, is the delivery model 2, where the service for mechanization is provided by the department.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The, as part of this same response of number 5, the province was expected to indicate the numbers of the tractors that they have received from DAF and in relation to the production of Fezatlan. And here we are indicating that the department has received 85 landing tractors with 365 implements from DAF in 2010. There is a more detailed report on the annex chassis on page 38 and 39 on table 5 and 6, which indicates these tractors and implements. However, we also indicate in terms of using the tractors in terms of the planned target of Peskomkhonomlimi, which is part of Fetatlala, where we indicated from 2011-12 to date in 2017-18 in terms of the hectares that we targeted and we have plowed. And as honorable members might have noticed, the number has gone down from 100,000 in 2011-12 to 14,000 in 2017-18. And Honorable MEC on his overview indicated the challenge we have with high number of tractors which have been which are broken as we are talking. However, the province is planning to dispose some of them and also to increase the number of the operational one so that our target shouldn't go down any further. But also this is done by the focus of the province, as honorable member might have realized when I was presenting, in terms of the value chain, we are now trying to focus more on making sure that the smallholder farmers, they are participating in the RAVAC in terms of the value chain of the commodities so that they can also be in the mainstream of the market rather than just having a quarter hectare every year, which is not even bringing income. So that also participated in terms of us refocusing in assisting the farmers. In terms of number six, Honorable Chair, DAF and Mpumalanga Dadleya should provide a comprehensive report including status and revival plans for the two champagne projects, the citrus estate and the broiler development abattoir, that the delegation could not visit on the day of 27 March 2017. Our response on this one, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, starting with champagne citrus, which I've given a short summary in the opening slide, where we indicated that this project is operational in the extent of 400 hectares, and it has a lease in place, which is going on 70-30, and when the department intervened, we were not happy about this 70-30, and then the proposal was discussed to be changed to 40-60, meaning that the strategic partner will have 40 and the beneficiaries will have 60, so that they have the majority share. So this is what is happening with Champagne. The contract has been drafted by the department and is waiting to be signed off by both parties as they were still reading through it. However, this farm has got 302 beneficiaries, 127 being males and 175 being females. So, however, it is still in production. When it comes to the broiler project, the champagne broiler abattoir, this abattoir, Honorable Chair, I will not go line by line, but I will try to summarize what we have responded here. This abattoir is not in operation. It stopped due to the main feed, or what we call the supply. By the time it was constructed, there were Bushbuck Ridge poultry producers who are now not in production, and our diagnosis indicated that the reason why they are not in production or why they fell out of production is the cost of feeds, which are very high, and they were working on deficit every time. So coupled with the challenges with the abattoir, where they are inside fights with the cooperative, which is running the cooperative, we find that it was difficult to get the abattoir running. What we are doing to make sure that the abattoir is up and running, we have mobilized all broiler producers in Bushbuck Ridge, both functional and non-functional one, so that we focus in terms of revitalizing them first and also make sure that they've got enough numbers to support the abattoir, because the abattoir runs at loss if it is not getting enough supply of chicken. And in addition to that, we had meetings with the farmers so that they can start producing the maize meal so that we can develop or produce chicken feed in the area to make sure that the cost of feed is going down. And farmers bought into the idea and they are very much excited, and we are now with the engineers who are working on the plans to establish the feed mill in the area, and we believe that that feasibility will be completed by December 2017. In terms of the next question, DAF and Mpumalanga Dadlia should also provide comprehensive feedback on the following projects that were visited in addition to the updated profile. So the committee wanted us to give more information on the agricultural produce packhouse in Huntington in addition to the profile which we provided. Our response is therefore saying, here the committee wanted to know if there were engagements with the farmers in terms of that facility. Our response, therefore, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is that there is ASHDN, which is Sabi, Dingledale, Hoshane, and New Forest Cooperative. It is a secondary cooperative, and we had meetings with them. It is consists of 21 farmers, and they are going to be using this facility of Huntington. As I have indicated earlier, Rural Mega has already met with these farmers, and they agreed that Mega is going to lease this facility for the government nutrition program, which has started in the 1st of June this financial year. For inclusion use of the facility, all farmers in Bishbagrish South, Mega and Dadlia have envisaged that this secondary cooperative to lease the facility to Mega. So Mega will be paying the lease for this facility, but also the owner of this facility will be also partnering with Mega in terms of what is going to be delivered in this, but also farmers in Bushbuckridge South, they will be using another pack house which is closer to their farm or production unit in Tulamahashi. The next project that the committee wanted us to give more further details is in Komazi West, where they want factual information on total of investment made to the project operational entity and how much has been used, how much more is needed to complete the project and by when. So this is the response in a table form, table 6, where we indicated phase 1, 2, 3. The phase 1, which happened in 2011-12, was to put a steel structure for this and the borehole, the guardhouse, palisade, way, bridge, store tank and access road. An amount of 1.7 million was invested through CASP and the duration was 4 months for this project. In 2016-17 we were doing phase 2 to build the structure and reticulation. Investment was 741 through CASP and it was done in 4 months. Phase 3, which is this current financial year 2017-18, we have to put the milling plant and the silo, and an amount of 6 million is required and it has been allocated to finish the project in October 2017. Conditions of partnership, because this milling, they are partnering with Letabo Milling from Free State. So the strategic partner, Letabo, and the beneficiaries will create an operational entity. The beneficiaries will get the majority share, which is more than 50%. However, the entity will lease this infrastructure. They will pay the lease to the owners of the infrastructure, which are the farmers. But however, even if the entity want loan, they won't use the facility as a security. On agreed period, the operating entity will pay dividends to the beneficiaries. Maintenance of the facility will be done by the entity, not beneficiaries. In the event where loans are required as indicated, we won't use this as a collateral. The next project is Pixley Family Cooperative in Fact Plus. Factual detail is also needed. Our response is that the department has attached the project profile as required by the committee in Annex Chart D. The summary of the project is also stated in the section. I won't go through the chair, through your permission. I won't go through the attachment, but we have attached the profile, and we think it has got all the information that is needed, which indicates the farm, also where it is in terms of the coordinates, and also the numbers of the beneficiaries, which we have got 10 of them, 5 of them are females and 5 of them are males, and we indicated that amount spent so far is 1.6. What we have done in that project, we have constructed the animal handling facilities, which has got also the sprays and the weighing in terms they are going for auction, installation of the park home, because this farm is far from the settlement area, so farmers had to stay within the farm, so there's accommodation provision, water provision has been done, training and stipend are being paid to the farmers. So this is what has been done. Non-financial support, of course, it is extension and advisory services. So this project is now just left with the connection of electricity, which we have already applied through ESCOM, and once that is done, the production will be starting. The next project is Vukuzenzele NPO. Also, the committee wanted progress on assisting the beneficiaries with expired lease and access to recap. The response, therefore, is indicating that on the issue of expired lease, the matter of the expired lease has been transferred to the department concerned rural development, and there is waiting for the report. And what we do, because we have got a monthly meeting with Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in trying to frustrate issues like this and other issues which affect the project that we are monitoring. So this is the matter that we are raising with rural development on a monthly basis in our standing monthly meetings. Regarding the recap funding, rural development is awaiting finalization of the function shift of recap to agriculture sector nationally. Current rural development is not in position to attend to issues of transfer of application. What I can say here to honorable members is that in terms of all projects which are in need of recap and which were approved for recap, Department of Rural Development, they have just put a stop on each all of them. They said there is a function shift from Department of Rural Development Land Reform to DAF. So they are saying until then they won't be investing more money on recap. They are moving the shift function, and also they expect DAF or agriculture to budget. They are not moving the shift with budget. That is what they indicate. So all projects which have been approved for recap, they are now on hold because they can no longer be funded, although they were approved previous year or a year before. So, but it's the matter that, as I indicated, Chairperson, we are engaging rural development on a monthly basis. Siyabuswa Falls, Fontaine Veterinary Clinic. That just should indicate to Parliament the composition of the staff complement on the veterinary clinic and the vacancies that exist, as well as the staff complement or organogram of the whole province. Honorable ABC have already indicated that we do have a challenge in terms of VET, but however, we have indicated the staff complement of Siyabuswa Clinic, where we are indicating that the state VET clinical is filled, veterinary nurse is also filled, but veterinary assistant is vacant. Then in terms of the staff complement of the whole province, we put the table which indicate the post, the type of function, and also state vet, admin staff, technical staff, auxiliary, and the total. And we put two blocks in each which indicate the post filled and the post vacant, and honorable members can see that we do have high volume of vacancy. Giving an example, if you look at auxiliary personnel, honorable members will see that we do have 143, but in total we have got 230 vacancy or vacant posts in veterinary, and that has got a huge impact, taking into consideration that this is a specialized field, and if anything goes wrong, farmers lose lot of their livestock. So I won't go through the whole table with your permission, Honorable Chair, as I have indicated the summary of the vacancies. Additional notes which we have put is that the state veterinary, including the deputy directors, the province has imposed moratorium, as Honorable MEC has indicated, on the vacant post. As a result, even the post of the chief director, which is veterinary services, head of veterinary services, has been vacant for the past 5 years because of course, the same moratorium. So two other management posts, animal health and veterinary, could not also be filled. So we are, on this regard, what we are trying to indicate to the committee is that we are pulling a little bit difficult on this one, taking into consideration that we do have Nkomazi and Bushbuck Ridge, which are bordering Kruger National Park, and they are vulnerable to diseases and foot and mouth diseases and other diseases. So it's a bit of a problem, taking into consideration the avian flu which is coming in, the fall armyworm in terms of the researchers in crop. So these are some of the things that vacancy posts are not really assisting. In addition, that there needs to report to the Parliament on the availability and use of mobile clinic, including the availability of function, equipment and medicines. This should highlight the necessary resource allocation. On this one, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we indicated that we do have 9 mobile clinics of the Iveco size and 3 mobile hospitals, trucks, which have been procured through the province, and the 9 Iveco through DAF. So equipping of these clinics with veterinary equipment and furniture is an ongoing process. We are saying so because due to the allocation of our budget, we make sure that every year we expand or upgrade the equipping of these clinics so that they are up to the standard. The mobile clinics are used to reach remote areas that are limited to veterinary services. The clinics, however, need further veterinarians, veterinary nurses, and 10 additional drivers, as we indicated, our shortage of staff. However, the committee also wanted DAF should indicate how the proposed revolutionary state veterinary services addresses the gaps that were identified as far back as 2012 by the World Health Organization regarding the animal diseases management risk faced by South Africa. 7.2, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, is about Marapyane. Interpretation and proclamation regarding incorporation of Lowveld College and extension Marapyane College into university. The province department should indicate if legal advice was sought when and opinion when this was given to the, or whether this was given to the state law advisors. The response is said to the Honorable Members, no legal advice was not sought from state law advisors as the proclamation was without major complications. The department did pick up the anomaly on the exclusion of Marapyane campus because initially when all the meetings were being held, the committee which was facilitating this was indicating that they will need a campus towards the western side of the province. But however, the department noticed when the actual happening of the university takes place that they were now indicating, the interim council indicating that they are not interested in the Marapyane campus mainly because it's so far and they are a new university, they want to concentrate on the campus in the Lowveld. So in short, legal advice was not sought as we thought there were no major complications. 7.3, the provincial department reported that Marapyane College has been budgeted for 2017-18 financial year. In this regard, it should provide a comprehensive report which include breakdown in terms of activities. On this one, Chairperson, we tried to indicate that we, first of all, we want to open this university and resuscitate it, but we need to start by recruiting or appointing the director who will therefore look after all the activities which will be happening. There was a principal before the story of the university comes in. But when the university comes in, although they didn't take Marapyane campus, but they took all staff from Marapyane and they took them to the Lowveld. So there we, as the department, we were left with infrastructure with no staff except the two people who are standing at the gate. Now, what we are doing is that we want to fill that post and also make sure that we get all our farmer training courses accredited. Because in terms of diploma, we can no longer do that because that function now lies with the Department of Higher Education. But our farmer training courses, we are in the process. We have already started the process of getting them accredited. Then for 2017-18 financial year, the department has set aside 5 million, as I indicated before, for the maintenance of accommodation facility, because that is the most part which is dilapidated and the accommodation site, but also the infrastructure of water. As honorable member will realize that once you don't use the facility for a year, the first thing to get affected is the infrastructure of water and electricity. Prior to the incorporation of the college into University of Mpumalanga, in line with Government Gazette, the college received a special allocation under CASP of 5,049,000 for the maintenance and expansion of the facility as a college of revitalization, the college revitalization grant, 4 million per annum. Both of these funding sources ceased to exist post incorporation because we were no longer having a college, so we could no longer get that grant for the college. So the condition of the college after occupation by the university was also not conducive to continued use and required backlog maintenance. During that period, where we were told that it is now moving into the university, and in the period the university told us that they are not interested in this building, there were a lot of dilapidation which took place, and that's why we are talking about the backlog of maintenance. The province is in advanced stage of the evaluation of its farmer training function, and through the program that is currently under evaluation, the provincial cabinet, the department aims to strengthen Marapyane as a facility for training of farmers in grains, dry land farming and livestock. Elijah Mango College in Kabokweni will also be developed to train farmers and will focus on the low field. As honorable members know that Marapyane is on the further west side of the province, so people from low field, talking of Mbuzini, which is next to Mozambique border, will find it difficult to come to Dr. J.S. Mroka for training. So the department is also in advanced stage of revitalizing Elijah Mango in Kabokweni for those who are in that part of the province. Honorable Chair and honorable members, this was our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, MEC and your team. Honorable members, that was the presentation from the Mpumalanga province. I'm now going to allow honorable members to interact with the report as presented. Before I note members, I must get clarity. MEC, there are tractors in Nukani which are said to be rural development. Rural development property, and they are not used by any boat. If we can get clarity, why are they not being used? Because I heard that you are having a monthly interaction with rural development. So why are they not being utilized? Why are they stationed there? Is it what is the problem? Because you've spoken about the tractor, but I thought you would touch on them, and I was listening to the presenter. No, because we have not visited Nugane. Honorable members have just raised it, and because it's my constituency, same question. Yeah, so can we get clarity on those tractors?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. I'll request Chief Director Silinda to respond to this particular question, Chairperson, deliberately, because I was asked about that very same question by the media in the province. I want him to respond so that when I come in as a politician and decide on that particular matter.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, members, MEC colleagues. Nukaneng Chair, we identified it as one of the sites where we are keeping tractors. Some of those tractors are not for rural development. They also belong to us. So those tractors are the tractors, are some of the tractors that the MEC spoke about, that we have already conducted an assessment. We are going to pull, or we are pulling some of those tractors away for disposal. So we have been using that site to keep our tractors there.
Sorry, Chief Director, because you have not told me your name. I'm so Chief Director, you see now. Can you indicate how many were from your department and how many from rural development and how many you have received from DAF? If Mpumalanga is a province, you have ever bought tractors, and whether national they've given you tractors and those that of rural development, so that we can get the picture of how many tractors you have in the province.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I can quickly make that breakdown for you, but I will just need plus minus 30 minutes, because there are tractors that we bought using our own equitable share. There are tractors that we receive from DAF, and then if you look at the report, you'll see that we also receive tractors which we place in that area. And then there are also tractors from rural development. So we can be able to break it down to you, and also how many tractors are working and how many tractors we're going to dispose. But I won't be able to provide that information now. So I will have to call and check from the district from the district director that side.
Now, thank you very much, Chair and members of the committee. I'm coming in on this one precisely because what I have found in the department, the issue of tractors is not properly coordinated. I'm saying this exactly from what I have alluded on my overview about the type of tractors that were bought, the photos, which are not relevant in the province. And since I have discovered this particular challenge, we have come out with a new approach as a department in the province. We are building two tractor plants in the province. One in Gangala in Nkandastria, and the second one in Hertzbande in Sekunda, precisely to coordinate this issue of tractors in the main, and also to skill our people, particularly the small farmers, because they depend mainly from the officials to receive tractors to plow for them. But you know, if you get a tractor that has been standing for over 6 months only because of a start, it tells you that there is no proper capacity in the department to manage and to handle the issue of those tractors. But I am not taking anything away from the question that you have raised, Chairperson and committee members, because we still have to account for these tractors as well. In the long run, this is money for a government, and we must make sure that we account for each and every cent that was spent insofar as these tractors are concerned. That I will leave it at that particular level, Chairperson. And really, it's not only for this to plow for the small farmers only, but we as a province, we have adopted particular schools You know, what I've noticed when I came to the department, like in Bushbuck Ridge, Gersband, and in other regions in the province, you find our schools that are very dirty. They are not well maintained. But there's a lot of place where we can plow as a department and encourage learners to involve themselves in agricultural projects. So by managing this tractors issue, it is also going to assist us going forward in making sure that we turn Mpumalanga into green. That's what I wanted to add. I'm not taking anything away from your question, Chairperson, but I was just outlining the new vision that I have in the department. This one, they will respond for the numbers of tractors that are coming from our department, for the number of tractors that are coming from DAF, and for the number of tractors that are coming from rural development. Thank you, Chair.
Chief Dadak, you can continue. Because you've not finished to answer the question. Remember, I've interjected you when you're still responding and said, can you mention how many sectors we have? You're still, yes.
Thanks, Chair. What I was saying was that I will have to check with my office. And then if I can just be given some time so that I don't mislead the committee, we will be able to give an indication how many are from DAF, how many are from Dadlia, and how many are from rural development. We can also give the make and also the number of tractors according to our assessment that are going to be disposed of and those that will be operational.
Members, you can engage with the support, Honorable Colter, Honorable Zane, Honorable Papa, Honorable Kavukulu, Honorable Kruka, Honorable Maloy, and the Honorable Chair of Chairs of Malang, Mr. Masang. Let's start here. Yes. Let's take three questions for now. Three questions.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
And thank you for the presentation. MEC, I know you've been in your job for 8 months, but maybe you can shed some more light on Marapaniani, because it's still not clear why we spent 50 million rand on a facility that is unused. And then when we went on oversight there were machines or desktop PCs that were still in their plastic wrappers that were probably delivered there very recently. So, and also you've said that now the grant to that facility has been stopped. So, what's the future of that facility? And it's been very expensive, wasted a lot of taxpayers' money there, and it seems we are still somehow putting money into that facility, and there's actually no income from it, and there's no benefit being derived from the money we spent on it. And who was the person who commissioned the construction of that facility, knowing full well that its future is uncertain? You know, is that just a practice to throw money away in Mpumalanga? It's very expensive. Anything over 50 million rand, and it's just money that's gone down the drain. And we have to account to taxpayers as to why we're wasting that money. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I will also start with Marapuani. The first question is that we've asked for a full briefing on from the beginning, Chair, because as far as the document that received on our visit there last time, and I still have a copy on my phone, it said that that 54 million that was spent was on renovation. It didn't say about the time it was built. We would want, Chair, a full briefing. When was it built? How much money was spent on that time? And then, Chairperson, when we were there, we were also told that issues like those computers and other work was done after 2015, after it was decided that that college will be closed. We want to know exactly, per year breakdown, since that college was... And then I want to find out from the MEC what is going to happen when National is going to take a decision that colleges will now fall back under higher education, all colleges. It's not just, you know, in... So what's going to happen then? Do you have? We don't want to put more money on there when that's going to happen, but in any case, that place needs to be used. It is actually in very good condition, most of it. There might be here and there something that needs to do. Then, Chairperson, also on Marapuane, when we were there, there was a facility that was built, and that's one of the ones that was built recently, after that 2015... Sorry, Chair? But in any case, that there was a veterinary facility that was part of it. And we were informed that some of the veterinarians that were somewhere there in that other building where we went to visit would be moved now to that college. I want to know if that happened or not. Oh, they refused. Okay, Chair, but I'm trying to ask questions and you are answering me. Oh, they refused. Oh, the officials. Okay, well, but in any case, that's the case. While we were there, we saw that beautiful building and where the veterinary people were stationed. Actually, it was too small. The facilities were bad because we want to know what's going on. Then, Chairperson, my question is on this whole thing of lease of farmers. I've been visiting a few provinces in the last, during recess. The farmers are crying about this thing of lease and title. Now, the two farms that we visited that are on lease, they received in 2008, it's that one of Kalkbank, which has now got a new name, Mr. Nkosi, got that land in 2008. I want to know, I don't care who's responsible, rural development or agriculture, but agriculture needs to make sure that the farmers are farming. What have you done to ensure that those farmers, except for giving a strategic partner, which we haven't got the name for, Chair. We asked for the strategic partner because on the visit there we were told the strategic partner was given to him. If I remember, that was the correct words of that farmer. Given. Given by who? What is the name of that farmer? Because according to your documents, that farmer received 5,000 rand per month. And I want to know if that was from 2008 or when was the strategic farmer given to this farmer. How long do you keep a strategic farmer and how much money is being pumped into strategic farmers if the farmers still then have a strategic farmer? Chairperson, then I want to ask who compiled this report and if they are sure that the information on this report are correct. Because if I read this and I read some of the documents that we were receiving when we visited Mpumalanga, the totals are not the same, the amounts, the years, the information. So which one do we believe? The ones that we get now or the ones that we got then? So who's taking responsibility for the information that we were given for this meeting? My last one, Chairperson. I've received a number of tractors in your province. I have it because we got it when we discussed the drought. Maybe the person would like to... Tractors needed, tractors, total number of tractors, 389. And at that stage, and that was September last year, 95 tractors needed repairs. So I can give you the document if it can assist. Chairperson, but it's not taking away your question. We still think that. And on that, what made you bring the hectares down dramatically? Is it just the mechanization of the tractors in the province? Or is there anything else that is affecting the fact that the hectares planted now for the new year came down dramatically to 15,000 hectares from 100,000, which I never believed was in any case possible to do with the funding and the capacity that you had in the province? Not that I don't think people can't do it, but it's just in the confines that you had. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm only having a few. Let me start with a small one, simple one. The one where you talked about 21 woolly cattle. That one, on a lighter note also, I'm thinking of it because I know of an experience where there were 50 cows with one bull for 15 years. Every time the auditors were going there, they were finding that 50 cows are there and the bull is still there. So that was balanced. That was balanced.
That's a useful.
So that is. Now with this 21 woolly cattle, I would like to see to understand the plan, because I know if there were 15, if there were 21 bulls, 21 months ago, definitely now there are more than 21. And after 3 years, they keep on multiplying. And what is the plan? And also, I'm not clear whether this Nguni cattle are the part of the Nguni program that always wants to keep the Nguni status pure, or it contributes in the livestock development for the farmers. Because it also has a complication when if it is restricted to the Nguni stud. The second one is on the mentorship. I'm only interested in understanding in the case where the mentor gets 5,000 rands, and therefore maybe to some satisfaction that the farmers who are being mentored, someone can say, my mentor is getting 5,000 per month, and at least I'm getting 200 per month, so as to be sure that the bulk of the money which is meant for the development is not mainly to support the mentors. And then the last one is on the tractors. On the tractors, you talked about the tractor plant. I don't know whether this is going to be a tractor plant or a tractor station, but I'm sure you wanted to serve the purpose of assisting the farmers there. But now, while you are going to have this plant, there is this fear I have that tractors have been purchased, and after a short time, they must be evaluated and then they must be disposed. Whereas I know that a tractor, when you buy a tractor, at least under normal circumstances on a farm, the tractor does survive for 20 years without having disposed, just repaired and so on. I'm worried about these tractors, and also interested in your relationship between DAF and rural development when they assist, because I'm sure you might have a challenge of accountability there and how to get around that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question would be on that champagne and citrus, I'm sure farmer, fruit mess here. A mention has been made of this farm being leased. The understanding is that leases are said to be for specific periods. For how long are these farms going to be leased? And who is the leaser? Who gets paid for this one being leased? Is it the community or the department that is getting
money from the Lyceum. The second one, Chairperson, is about the strategic partners. The experience that one was once exposed to previously was that the strategic partners, they sometime end up leaving the communities without having passed on the knowledge of managing those farms. My question then would be, who identifies these strategic partners? Is it department officials or the communities adjacent to those farms who need to be assisted in acquiring knowledge on running those farms? The other one, Chairperson, is the issue of the colleges, the agricultural colleges that need to be renovated and re-established for the youth for agricultural studying purposes. The understanding is that maybe we have the elders in most rural areas who have been practicing indigenous knowledge on agriculture farming, who I think need to be assisted as well in getting knowledge on the new ways of agriculture implementation. What is the department doing to assist those elders who currently are tilling the land without the new know-how on dealing with agriculture? What is the department doing in order to empower those elders that they get exposed to maybe getting certificates on agriculture, because they have the know-how, actually. It's only that they've not been qualified, if I may say so, to be agricultural farmers. And the future plans for the department on the students that will be passing agriculture studies from agricultural colleges. What is the plan of the department with regards to the land that has been purchased by rural development for the local communities in order to maybe place those students into those farms so that they could maybe practice what they've learned in the colleges? Lastly, Chairperson, I thank you that you've raised the issue of the number of tractors in the province. The concern, Chairperson, I'm sure the MEC pointed out that seemingly the subsistence farmers are relying on the department to provide tractors in order to till the land. What and how does the department think of assisting them if they cannot be they cannot have access to the tractors provided by the department? And if then they are provided, what is the department's plans of seeing to that these tractors get properly serviced, they get diesel, and go out and assist the communities? The understanding I'm talking from the understanding that in some provinces, issues were raised that people could not be assisted because there was no diesel, there was no contract with fuel suppliers in order to refill the tractors, in order for them to go out and assist the communities out there. Thank you.
No, Kruger. Sorry, Honorable Kruger. You look at me when I say Fandale.
No, yeah, I say Kruger, yeah.
Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just one comment.
before I ask the questions, about the Nokaneng practice. I pass Nokaneng, that specific site, on Mandela Day. That was the 9th of July, if I'm correctly. And I was surprised that all the broken tractors was removed. There was nothing. And if I remember correctly, I saw four or five red tractors standing there. So I was surprised that the department don't know about it. So as I say, because every time I pass there, I make sure that I have a look at that tractors, because I know it's a big issue and I work very hard in that constituency. So just as a comment. Ma'am Chair, also, just a few kilometers from Nokaneng, towards the east, there's a maize mill. I don't know if it belongs to the department or rural development, but I don't see anything about that specific maize mill. And it was erected about 4 years ago, and of course there's virtually nothing left. So I just want to know, why is the department not reporting about that specific maize mill?
They are reporting only on the project that we have visited.
All right. So then I can just ask maybe if they know about this maize mill.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then I just turn. Then, Ma'am Chair, in the same time when agriculture was on oversight, small business development was also on oversight, also in Mpumalanga. That's, and I went with the Small Business Development Committee. And we visited 13 cooperatives in Mpumalanga, all of them in the agriculture business. So I just want to know if the department saw this report. Because this report of small business development and money spent on cooperatives in the agriculture sector is as damning as the report of this committee. And I was wondering if they saw this report and if they know about this cooperatives, by the way. So, and that brings me also to the B side of that question is, if the department in Mpumalanga knows about all the departments investing money into agriculture, who's organizing this whole process? Because it seems like every department is investing money and spend a lot of money if you look at reports, but nothing is happening. There's a lot of money disappearing out of the system. And I'm just asking. And then my third question is about the definition of the small-scale farmers. You will remember, Ma'am Chair, I asked questions about that. And I just want to know if the definition of small-scale farmers and the whole small thing about farming, is it in line with the definition of the Small Business Act? Because there's certain benefits if it's in line. If it's not in line, there's no benefit. So I just want to know, when the department was working on the definitions, if they talked to small business at all, small business department, because we need to align this. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Before I proceed, because I don't want to be in your bad books, do you want us to focus on the business of today, or can just ask general questions about any other thing? Or we must focus on what we are here for today? Well, thank you very much, because I was going to ask general questions about the other committees that I joined and so on, and try to find out from the department whether they are aware of those. The first question is on the champagne citrus. That project. When the CPA was established, was there a strategic partner? who was working with the CPA? Is he the one who advised the CPA to lease the land to whoever at the 70-30 scale? Secondly, this 70-30 scale, including the 49-51% scale that you are talking about, what is it exactly? Because you are talking, are you selling shares, or is this a person leasing? What is the scale which you are referring to? But still related to that, if the strategic partner is the one that advised the CPA to lease the land, where was the department? Are you engaging the strategic partner as to understand why did he advise the CPA to do this thing which he did, the 70-30 scale? That is the first question on the champagne thing. The Huntington Pack House. Now, you will recall that when we were there, the Department of Rural Development was indicating to us that on the 1st, I think it was on Thursday, 2 days thereafter, they are going to hand over the project to the Department of Agriculture. Okay, I think that's what they were saying. And the Department of Agriculture at that point, they seem not to understand what is happening and so on. Now, with the province, I understand that the agriculture rural development is one department. But as and when rural development construct the structures, are you meeting together in order for you to agree that as rural department you are going to construct the structure, when it's complete, then agriculture must take over in order for agriculture to have all systems in place for it to run immediately when that is done? And the impression we got when we were there, it seems this arrangement was not there. So I would want you to answer, or the department itself must answer that question. The other one is Vukuzenzele. You know, Chair, I'm disturbed about this Vukuzenzele NPO. In terms of your report, you are indicating to us that the lease has expired. You are waiting for rural development to come back to you. And when we left there, we had indicated to yourselves, including the DAF, that you need to attend this matter as a matter of agency. Now today you are still telling us that you are waiting for a response. It means you did not listen to the portfolio committee when he spoke to you on that particular day, that you must attend to this matter immediately. The second part, which is also disturbing me, you know that RECAP is not yet transferred to DAF. But the report says that you can't assist this farmer because you are still waiting for RECAP to be transferred to DAF and so on, and you don't even know when it's going to be transferred to DAF. It means that poor old man must continue to suffer up until this thing is transferred. We don't know whether in 2030 or in 2052. So there must be an arrangement in place, and I don't know what are we saying here. Because we can't have this type of a situation. This must be corrected immediately. The last question, Chair, is the veterinary clinic. You know, in Marabjani, there's a very nice structure there. With all the necessary things, it is complete, well-equipped, and so on. And we are told that what you are only left with is to ensure that electricity does work. Then you'll be transferring people from that thing. I don't know what is that thing. I think it's a container or whatever that thing is, from that mukuku to that area. But up until today, we are not talking to that. But when you left, you said you will be transferring people to that nice structure. So I don't want to cast aspersions. But it seems when you speak to us, you are too economic with the truth. Because if you are not too economic with the truth, it means if you say to us, within a certain period we would have done this, you should be doing that. But I don't know if after 3 months or 2 months down the line and so on, you are still not giving us progress on this matter. The last question, Chair, and this one is the last one. Acting DG, Ramashodi. Now, you see the conditional grant. You know the answer you got, Chair, at the beginning, was that because agriculture is a concurrent function, that is why there's an arrangement between DAF and the province, that they will monitor 50%, others will monitor the other 50% because the concurrent function and so on. But here we are talking about a conditional grant, which comes from the national department. Now, that one you can't tell us about 50% on a conditional grant. It is conditional, it means you must monitor it, whether it is being used in terms of those specific conditions. Now, if you monitor 50%, you don't monitor other 50%, you depend on them to report back to them, it's a problem. Because you get on that grant on the basis of certain conditions, it's a conditional grant. So I think we'll have to deal with this matter at a later stage, not here today and so on, in order for them to tell us what is the rationale behind this decision that does not make logical sense. Thanks, Chair.
Let me, it's not you, Honorable Matali, it's Honorable Chair, Uskosana Gamahlangu. Which is the same name, sir? Because I'm saying Mahlangu, they say Uskosana. We're fighting with my officials here. So which is the same name? Uskosana Gamahlangu.
Whatever you like.
Okay, any of them is my same name. Okay.
All right, both so. Equal in status.
Okay, Baba. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you so much for the fact that we are here as Mpumalanga. Let me indicate that Honorable Chair, Honorable Du was supposed to be here. But because of some other issues that cropped up, I had to come in and allow him to handle other issues better too. But we want to welcome and also appreciate the fact that we got the invitation, and also indicate, Honorable Chair, that we are interacting with the department, and some of the questions that you have posed here, we have dealt with them in the committee. I'm a bit surprised that I'm finding some of the responses that were given to yourselves are not as responses that were given to us. One good example is the issue that deals, Chief Director, when you look at the response that you gave on this, the incubator, the conditions thereof, instead of dealing with those conditions that you gave us, you're talking about something that speaks to a criteria of how the person is being employed. They must have this experience and that, which is not the condition in which I think that you actually gave us back at home. But that as it may, Honorable Chair, the issue of 1440, I will pose a question now about that as well, is a program that I think is one of the programs in the province that we think will be able to take us far if it's being properly monitored and with the vigor that the Honorable MEC is showing on the program and also the kind of things that they're doing. This is one program that I had my honorable colleague here, Ubaba, speaking about the Abantu Abadala, who's been there for years, and you know, what program does the department have, which I fully agree with Ubaba. But coupling that with a program that will ensure that the youth in the province, where you have so much high rate of unemployment, Honorable Chair, with this kind of a program, taking the fact that we have the land, umhlaba, which is lying bare, it's the land that we now not, we're giving away in terms of our issues on our minds. I don't think we're doing proper assessment in looking at what we have currently. The issue of the mines will come and they will go. But if that land, arable land, is being kept properly, it's going to be there forever and will be able to feed the world if we're looking at it and doing our work properly. And that is why we're saying the issue of 1440 is one issue that is going to take us far. I mean, if you look at what is being required by the world currently, there's an agreement that as BRICS countries that we have. Take, for instance, Russia. at the time when they were hit by sanctions, there was great expectation that South Africa will be able to supply the kind of products that they might get from this country. But we couldn't even supply them with a percent of what of their requirement. And therefore, this thing of 1440, I think, will be able to help us dealing with that. There's an issue of the exit strategy, Honorable Chair, was posed here, a question was posed. I'm not sure if Honorable MEC, you want to deal with that one together with the Chief Director. The answer says, no, we will, at the three-year period, we'll then only assess whether we're taking these people out or we leave them in the program. From where I am, that might create a challenge, because the state cannot incubate an individual forever. There must be a time where you say, this person must be out of this program. And if we're not certain about that, then maybe there's a problem somewhere that we need to look at, so that we tighten up that one. If we say in a three-year period, this person must be out of this program, that particular individual must be out, unless our system has a challenge somewhere. And maybe you want to deal with that one. Maybe there are some other missing elements there that you want to deal with. The veterinary services, Honorable MEC, as the last shot from my side, and thanks for the responses that we actually gave, and also your parting shot when Yoni introduced this work that you're doing in Mpumalanga. There's a shortage of vets in the province. I think at the committee level we did speak about this matter, but I hear there's still an emphasis on the fact that there's moratorium of employing people in the province. And I think there was a particular explanation that was given at the committee. This being a scarce skill, this is needed. Maybe there's another way of you people are dealing with that one. If maybe you want to deal with that one so that we understand whether the understanding that we had, maybe it might have changed now. There was another assessment on the issue of the vets. Honorable Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Honorable Matal?
No, thanks, Chair. My comments or questions are just based on me listening here, because I couldn't join the committee as we're having an oversight on science. Chair, I think the Obaba's Kosana spoke to what I also wanted to talk to, the issue of the moratorium on veterinary section. I think the department must understand that this is just one pillar of what makes agriculture a complete department. Without this pillar, you are not complete. So you will have to look at, within the limited resources at your disposal, to look at the functionality of this section and make sure that, within that shortage, you create space to fill this. Because without this, your animal section as a whole will not be taken care of. And I think it's something, Chair, that they should look at. The response by the Chief Director on tractors, I wonder, when you ask a question and that is what I was observing in his response, and I think it is just not on, since that question was asked, and now the time that he needed to get the information has lapsed. If he really wanted to give us that information, he should be ready with that information now as we speak, because he was very, very economic with the truth, and I think it's unacceptable, Chief. I don't know, is he from Mpumalanga? Flying from Nelspruit to here, and you know that one of the questions is around tractors. and you decide not to prepare yourself thoroughly, so that you fly, you sleep here, you come into a meeting and you are asked a question on tractors, then you want to go out and go and phone somebody somewhere to get the information, really, I mean, no, man. Pelaware government, we are not the father. You know, we are more than 20 years in this democracy. We can't claim not to be understanding what our responsibilities are. I think you must take us a bit serious, Chief, and also yourselves. Because if you go back and you check, you look yourself in the mirror and say, but it's really me who was saying the things that I was saying there. You are not respecting yourself, Chief, and I don't think it's appropriate. The talk about strategic, I have a problem of understanding what is strategic about these people that are called strategic partners, who are paid. I was asking about but is this a minimum wage or is this an allowance? You know, you call me a strategic person, you pay me 5,000 per month. What is strategic about what I'm giving you, which is worth 5,000? What are you, what, I don't know, what advice are you giving me in this project? For sure, we don't want this project to succeed, because the 5,000 you are, probably you might be giving me, who have no clue about agriculture, so 5,000 is not too much. But a strategic partner on this, I think it's a problem, because maybe it's not a strategic partner, it's a consultant. They might have written it in a in a manner that says strategic partner, but I don't see anything strategic about the role these people are playing and the remuneration that you are giving them, which looks like an allowance of some kind or just the minimum. You can pay them more than that, but you are giving them a minimum allowance, because really, I don't know. But in, when you are presenting the strategic partner here, strategic partner, but you tend not to understand what is strategic about what they are doing. Of course, the I don't want to go into the percentages that you are giving them and the changes to 49, 51. Maybe it's because they are not strategic. If you can unpack, what do you mean? What is it that these people are coming in there to do? What value are they adding? Probably it will make us understand why, for example, you pay 5,000, because I might be wrong, but you know, they say the domestic workers who work in a house, who clean, wash your clothes, wash dishes, sometimes make you tea, and sometimes they give you food. Their minimum wage is almost at the same level as what you are paying these strategic people who must make a farm productive. I think there is something wrong somewhere, Chair. I think those were the comments I wanted to make. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. You know, seated here, I wanted to say that we are not ready for the meeting, the way MEC officials are responding. And my question was, were they with us? Because I didn't see. Maybe I might have not recognized them. Were they with us when we were moving around? Or is new people who come and read documents to us? Because they're not knowing what we're talking about. You know, unless you take as serious MEC and your team, we would not move anyway. Because you could see that the person is just reading the document. But if you were there, you'd know that information that you have given us in the last meeting is not the same as what you have given us. The second issue, I'm very worried, MEC, because you'll talk, but things won't happen if you start with such people, because information that were given, presented to us not the same as this. If you look at the project on maize, I'm asking my question, is it because probably it's because the cast is national and province, therefore you decided to remove the money from the province? I'm asking, now I'm thinking what's happened, which is the problem. But let me start with policy imperatives, MEC, because that's where we must start and start to, so that we can then move as a sector. Because what is happening in the country, we are not moving as a sector. It's piecemeal. Everybody is doing what is like, and therefore this sector, agriculture, won't grow, and forestry won't grow, and fishery. Unfortunately, today we speak on agriculture because it's a concurrent function. And the concurrent function, there's no problem with concurrent function. Concurrent function is just say you plan with us. You plan with the province. So, you know, Honorable Maluya, I didn't want to go when I got the response of 50% and other things. So I was, you know, I nearly get mad where I'm sitting. But what type of officials do we have, really? Because concurrent function means that national and province plan together. What is this thing of 50, 60, 100%? What is this thing? You know, and there is enough framework in this country for governments to work together. It says that any project that is implemented by national or provincial government must appear on the IDP of the municipality. And therefore, in that municipality, there is a ward councillor, there is a ward committee. How do you then struggle to monitor this project as a government? So I think, MEC, with your new vigor, but you know the incumbents of the sins of the incumbents on your back is upon you to drive your department to a better. So we'll as we punch, we'll limit the punch because you are not there. But next time when you come here, we'll change the tone and the language as this portfolio committee. And you see, when the IPEP was adopted, National told us provinces have participated and they've clustered the commodities. And we went to Mpumalanga to ask Mpumalanga to present that, what are their specialized commodities and how they implemented to implement APEC. Fine, it was very good presentation. And when you all go on the ground, then you see, it's not the same thing. You know, agriculture can only move forward if the people, if the sector, people who are in the sector, all of them work as collective, would have a progress. I think that's one thing that we have to strive to. Projects that are implemented in municipality must appear in the IDP so that municipality can own them. You know, the project in the maize project, the 2011, here you have supported the amount now is 700,000. In the other document it was 20-something million. Which number do we take? And you see, DAF, you have to take these meetings seriously, because these meetings actually is your meeting. When we invite MECs and our oversight, we're oversighting on you. But we bring the MECs and HOD so that they must not say people were speaking about us in Parliament without us. But we're oversizing on DAF. And similarly, you take it that it's not your responsibility. You can accompany the MEC and come and add one sentence. When you see this in the documents, you're there with us, DAF. But the documents are not the same. You come, pleasure with you. We accompany the MEC and the department. Nothing wrong. It can be good people. It can be. So I think it's on the policy imperatives, MEC, I think we have to give us a sense that if Mpumalanga has identified these particular commodities and the conditional grants that government is augmenting on your budget, right there, it's an augmentation of in your budget. Therefore, there is a progress and there is the, you know, I said as I was looking at the report, I was reading the framework on conditional grants, this CASP and illegalism. It's very clear. And DAF was supposed to guide provinces in terms of what these funds must do. But I know that there's been a confusion with the separation of rural agriculture and rural development. You have to be creative and start a new project and all. The emphasis on CASP was to support the post-settlement farmers. But we became creative and because we wanted to build everybody, to build farmers and increase the number of smallholder farmers. But we have not built smallholder farmers or subsistence in most instances. We have created problems in the society. Illegalism too was meant to support the households and the whatever to increase food production and making sure that there is food security. If you look at Mpumalanga MEC, previous years, you check your previous years, before the president can issue a policy on first atlas and the target, you are doing very well. Now because the president has announced 1 million, you reduce the hectares. This president is mad. I must reduce it. How do you do that? Check your record, where you come from, when you launch Masbuyele Masimu. You are doing very well. Thousands of hectares. Now that the president said, has talked to people that let's focus on 1 million hectares, focus on those areas that production has never, was not happening, and particularly in the Bantustan. You said, no, this president, well, let's drop the hectares. It can't be right. Where you are supposed to excel, because we have, say, in Mpumalanga, they are doing very well. KZN, they are doing very well. Let's have a target. President wants to have a target. Now you're dropping this. And because, you know why, in my own view, it might be wrong. Because you thought there will be money, or there will be money that can be diverted as you have been diverting other money, doing other things, not the program of government. Specific question on the project. Honorable Stein, I was interjecting with you when we were speaking because I remember we were told that there's 24 million to build veterinary clinic and with everything, and we're very happy with that, saying that well done Mpumalanga, but when we arrived at what was that mukuku? Where we saw the very small passage mukuku sort of. We're asking, why are you not using Marapiano College? There was no reason, but as we're moving out of that thing, Honorable Saint, the other was whispering, no, it's because it's in Marapiano, and therefore the Siyabuswa people, they want theirs. They can't go there. So it can't be in government. Officials of government need to defend the decision of government. Whether you like it or not, you don't like it. It's a college that was built by the previous government, and we find it to be useful to the development of the farmer in that particular area. The other thing, MEC, you know, when we are in Marapiano, when I come from, with my constituency, by the way, MEC, moving from the 10 plus road to Marapiano College. From Limpopo, you have the tar road, even though it's poorly or maybe it's damaged, but until 3 kilometers to college. Then it is where you can see that is the arrangement of the Bantustan. Then it stopped there, that tar road. There is a gravel road, 3 kilometers, entering Mpumalanga. They say, welcome to Mpumalanga. The gravel road, and then it's a gravel road until you reach the college, which you need only 5 kilometers to tar that area, and it can unlock potential of that area. You know, and that 10 haze area is lot of commercial farmers, sunflower, lot of them. But I don't know what's happening, because you don't even see the farming, the production has gone down in those areas. So maybe one of the things that we have to look at is how do you mobilize that community in that area to increase production, because there is even a railway line, if you want to use the railway line. Because one of the things when we speak with the with yourself, we don't talk about commercial farmers, because we chase the conditional grant. And if you are spending this money correctly, we're supposed to talk about these commercial farmers that exist in those areas. How do you build? How do you boost the economy of Dr. Muroka with those areas surrounding it? And Honorable Matalia was saying to the Premier of Limpopo, if our plan was productive, or we have a better vision, would look at that tar road as a tar road that would even unlock the potential in Bela Bela municipality. But because those people who are staying there, their town, the nearest town, which is 25 kilometers, is Bela Bela. But they are unable to go there, because that 6 kilometers, you can drive 2 hours on it if it's rain. So you can only use it during the winter, and it's only Baki of mine that can travel there. All other cars cannot travel in that area. So I'm saying, the APEP must be able to assist us to say that this is a road that can assist farmers, because those farmers in that area, like the ones that we've seen in other areas, if they are not there, the road, even if it's not touched, is not being serviced, obviously what they produce at the time they reach the market, it will be messed up. So that's one of the things that the province has to look at. The provincial roads that connect your small farmers with the market. Even if you're going to create market, but as long as there is no road to travel on, then it's a problem. The You know, at that area of maize mill, you know, we've eaten millimill. They make sure that they cook millimill for us. They cook maranga, millis and maranga, so that we can see that they do production. But yeah, and now I've arrived in processing plant, that thing. It's a two-room house, but it was said to be a... Yeah, that's why they've changed it to 700, because we have questioned, how do you have 7 million, 7 million or 28? Yeah? Plus minus 8 million, yes. That's why they've changed it to 700, so that it can be equals to that two-room. MEC is two-room, not processing. Yeah, two-room house. It was called a processing plant. That was where we were taken. And it's because we have chosen the project that we visited ourselves. We said, no, don't give us the project. Give us the list. And we point that one. So we were arriving in the two-room house. Yeah, it's called the process plant. So... So they were saying it was 8 million. Now they've changed. In the presentation, it's 700,000. So it's equal to the, you know, the 700 is equal to the two room. Even two room, you know. I'm just saying they reduce. I need the million, you'll be shocked. So now they want to cool you down to put it 700 and something. So the last thing is only the definition. I think this thing of definition, let's leave it when we finalize the comprehensive support, because we might have a problem interacting with the document that is not yet official. But what we said is our instruction, that in the meantime, as we finalize this document, DAF must be creative and guide farmers and start to identify, differentiate those that are small and subsistence individuals. But and the good part, Honorable MEC, is that Mpumalanga is one of the provinces that gives agriculture serious recognition. But the equitable share, it's very big, unlike other provinces where they rely much more on conditional grants. Mpumalanga has done very well in allocating. So we'd would encourage you to do a lot of work to make sure that you streamline. All the projects must be in line with what you've told us in response to your local economic development is identified by municipalities, and the monitoring, it must start there with the council. You know, when we arrive there, even if you are not there, but if the project, because the law of this country, it says this is the government of the people by the people. When you do any project, people themselves must be there. So even if you are not there, for the fact that there are people who participated, will be having details that what happened with the project. But unfortunate part with agriculture, you have decided to do things outside the framework of government. Because the frameworks are there. They are there in place, how you should establish a project. Firstly, you need to have a steering committee. Even besides the committee, you must have the steering committee in those areas of people who are going to use the project. But there is the official and the officials of DAF only. They are implementing with one farmer. If they can just get anyone who will sign, then things are going right. Let me see.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much, members. I'm quite happy and excited. in the manner you are engaging with this department. Let me start by saying, as a political head of the department, I had few meetings with the top management. One of the meeting was last week, Thursday, yeah. And before that, yes, Thursday meeting, I also visited a project in Berdekop at Dr. Pigs Liga Isayose for a Mandela Day. We fought with the official. The chief director sitting next on the left-hand side was there. He was leading the administration. We fought big time. In fact, I wanted to go back and leave that project. The reason, amongst the reasons, was that the access road to that particular project is and was not good to be used. And you expect the so-called small farmers to be able to go to the project and do the work there. With the little resources that they have, some of them are driving 1400, some of them are driving small vans and so on. So the majority of issues that as a committee are raising are issues that I have raised with this management. Some of the decisions that I've taken, they can attest to it, Chairperson. I've told them I've taken some of the delegations away from the region because most of the complaining are going to the head office. Whereas you have officials that are working in different districts there. We have regional heads, you have heads of municipalities and so on. Now I'm just relating this so that you can also see as committee members that I am busy as a new MEC in this department. I'm changing a lot of things and I'm reshuffling the administration as well. Because I don't think some of them are helping. Some of them are not helping in this regard. You are asking about commercial farmers. It's one issue that I've raised with the management. That we can't only talk about the upcoming farmers and forget about commercial farmers. I've introduced a new program that is trying to go and regravel the roads, the roads of the commercial farmers, because they are also part of the family. They produce and they employ people. And for them to be able to say we are part of the government, and in fact I've met with them, I'm owing a meeting with them, all of them in the province, I think, next week or after next week, to discuss this matter of agriculture. And just to level the environment for them to be able to feel part of this present government. Because one of them, Mr. Kronje from Standerton, said to me after we met on a farmer's day that after I had a briefing with them and so on, he said, you know what, I feel now part of this government. And these people, these commercial farmers are more than willing. We must remember they have experience, a very long experience. The experience that they have, we do not have. So I think taking them along and assisting them as a government is going to say. But we did not bring a report that speaks about those issues because we only came for the questions that were raised by the committee. I agree with you, Chairperson. The policy imperatives, we need to look at them very closely.
very, very closely. We must work according to the policies. We must not use our common sense in doing that. You see, the question that we are raising as committee members that says, what is it strategic about these stakeholders? And that question is with rural development. They are the ones. In agriculture, we do not have strategic partners. We have mentors. We have trainers or incubators. It's not with them. I think the best approach in dealing with this matter of agriculture is that when the portfolio committee have invited us to come and explain our programs, the three of us must be here together. The reason why I'm saying the three of us must be here together, you're talking about the champagne and the citrus leasing and so on. It's not us that is leasing that particular project, but it's rural development. Rural development, the issue of CPAs and those things are matters of rural development. Are matters of rural development. They are not in our competence. You see,
but
it is
called
better.
MEC for rural development and agriculture. That's why members ask you this question.
Yeah.
Because you put yourself in that department yourself, say I'm MEC for rural development and agriculture.
Yeah.
And all of you, the nine MECs, they call themselves that without powers. I don't know how you did that.
Yeah.
But
that's good, Chairperson, without powers. Yeah. Without powers. You are very much correct. You are very much correct. It's what I've observed now. Mubuti, we were rural development, but there's nothing rural development with us. There's absolutely nothing. And in the last cabinet, we have requested them to come, when they come to the province, to plan together with us, because our objectives are the same. So I'm not shifting the blames. Where we must answer an account as a department, my officials must account the statistics that we have raised. I want to listen to them explaining them. Yeah. And if they are not sure, they must be able to say, on this one we are not going to respond because it is going to contradict the department. We will respond on writing about it, but not to lie, because that is going to implicate us at the long run. Fortunately, the 50 million that honorable member is raising as a waste, when I came to the department, it was precisely that reason why I said to the cabinet and to the premier, let us reopen that Marapiane College. That facility can be used. And to couple that question with the question that says, what if the national department is going to take it for whatever? That one we are going to fight to the bitter end of it. Because I've said when I arrive in this department, you can't have a department that deals with agriculture, that deals with small farmers and people that do not have skills, and then say to the province, we are handing over the agricultural college to the higher education nationally. We abolished the agricultural college and we are handing it over to the university in the province. What about the people that honorable member is raising? The people that were there farming with the little experience that do not have a formal education. You see? So that is what. Minahe, I was not going to allow, if I was an MEC for this department, to allow the university to be built in that particular agricultural college. It wasn't a clever idea.
Thank you.
at all.
A university, yes, we need it. But it was supposed to be a standing alone somewhere else and not to abolish the college on the expense of the university. Well, I've responded. We did have a land summit in the province, and that land summit was trying to address some of the agricultural issues. We do have them, we're still processing them, and some of them are indeed not our competency, are for rural development to be addressed. And we're going then to take those matters to rural development to address. But things are happening in our province, in Pumala. I've suggested, Chair, and the committee members, when I arrive in this department, that to monitor all these projects and be able to say, as an MEC, I know this project, I can account for this project. You can't visit all this project by car. It's impossible. These projects are too many. And to get the reports from the officials, sometimes the reports are not accurate. I'm saying because my first move to Perdekop, it showed me that the report that I have, insofar as that project is concerned, is not talking to the actual situation of that particular project. What about the others then? So I've suggested a program, a way of handling this project myself and lend to this project uninvited at a particular time. And it is going to assist me a great deal. But to do that is not going to come cheap for the government. It will never come cheap. You see, us as government and as politicians, we like to be very economic, but at the end of the day, become unproductive. The only way that I've said I'm going to present a memo to the cabinet is to lease a chopper. That we are going only to pay it when we have used it. Take a chopper, land on a project without telling the officials. Just land to that particular project and do your own personal observation. You see, you are talking about Mkuku here. I don't know of that. Now you know that Mkuku Chairperson and members because you were there. But I've never been there. I'm busy with other projects. So now I've learned that there's a Mkuku. I'm going to go to that Mkuku. That means if I'm going to do that, every time I will change on a project that I've learned from other people. No, I must know them. I must know those projects myself. The exit strategy, it was not properly coordinated, those of Fortune Food. How do you say the exit strategy is 3 years when you have 16 Fortune 40 projects that did not start same time, all of them? Some have started today, some have started 6 months down the line, and some have started a year later down the line. Then you say all of them, they must have an exit strategy of 3 years. It's unfair to those people that are on that particular project. But we are planning, I think we are planning. The very good question that was raised by the honorable member there about the elders that have been involved in agriculture, we are taking care of them. We're saying we must skill them. We must give them skill in the very same agricultural college. They must go there and learn the new good ways, scientific ways of agriculture and so on. It's we're not only focusing on young people alone. This issue of vets, we're fighting in the cabinet, we're fighting to the bitter, and then we're still going to fight. Because Honorable Matale is correct. You can't do anything without vets. You can't. You must have them. You must have them, whether there's a moratorium or no moratorium. That one, we must deal with it. Then, Chair, I will request the officials to respond on those issues of tractors of logging, and maybe first start by apologizing to the members that you came here unprepared for questions that you were supposed to come here prepared for. And you are still going to apologize to the department when we go back of this embarrassment that you have caused. Especially for a person at the chief director level. You know, a chief director, you are not even the HOD, you are a chief director, you are a specialist of that particular section. It does not go down well with me, and I think when we go back, you must apologize. I'm instructing you, you must apologize to the committee. Then when we go back to the department, we will equally apologize to the department for the embarrassment that you have caused us here. Because honestly speaking, members are correct. You see, if you are specializing on a particular matter, they can't ask you that matter and you tell them, no, I still need 30 minutes, I'm going to check. No, I will finish that information by writing within a week or within a particular time. But don't say I don't know about it. I've said also, Chair, this issue of cattle, bulls, whatever, that is a property of a government. I've said we must get an outside, I was going to do an audit for us as a department. Because ukhuluma ngeenkomo, ukhuluma ngama ngani ngani, angizazi le nkomo ukuthi zingakhi lezo zikhona, iingulube zingakhi, iinkukhu zingakhi, and so on. And every time uma ukhuluma nama officials bayakutshela ukuthi hayi e-Atholi kuneenkomo eziyi-15. When you arrive at Atholi uthola 18. Sometimes you get 40 yalenkomo. So I've said we are going to do an audit, and that audit is not going to be done by the department or officials in the department. We are going to outsource this particular function and get professionals that will do the audit for the department. Chair, with your permission, I will attentively listen to my officials responding, and where they have erred, they will have to apologize to the cabinet. I'm a member of the executive. I did not start in the cabinet. I started as a member of parliament. I know how to make the department to account, so I did not parachute. So the point I'm driving home is that if there are questions that have been raised by honorable members and you did not respond accordingly, you must apologize. And if you do not have information, you must say, I do not have information because statistics are necessary and I don't want to contradict the department or lie to the members. We do have a right to respond in writing within the specific time. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thanks, MEC. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Let me first start by apologizing. I knew that I was going to get this information because this information is specific to a center and it has got figures, figures in it. So in Nokaneng, Chair, we've got 15 tractors. That belongs
just
to...
Just to interject to the official, I've said as your MEC, apologize unconditionally. Okay. If you apologize and give an explanation, that means you are not apologizing. Apologize unconditionally and then give the statistics. Don't tell them that I knew I would get this information. We are still undermining the members. And we are bringing my department into a serious attention from the committee, and I don't want my department to be targeted by these members.
Thanks, MEC. There are 15 tractors in Nokane. They are both from DAF, and there are some bought by the province. Three of the tractors are operational. Four can be repaired, and we're going to repair them. And then eight are going to be dispossessed. One member here indicated that some tractors have been removed. Yes, it is correct. After an assessment, we came to a conclusion that there are some tractors that cannot be repaired. These are the tractors that we have pulled them to a central place where we are going to dispose of them. There are also six tractors from Rural Development, Chair, the ones that you asked about, that there are tractors from Rural Development that farmers are not allowed to use. The information that I have is that there are six, and these were bought by Rural Development specifically for the cotton farmers in that area. So other farmers who are not cotton farmers are not allowed to use these tractors. So these are tractors from Rural Development. They are not part of the provincial tractors, Chair. Once more, my apology, Chair, that I did not have that information with me. Chair, there is a question that was asked about the targets having gone down. Yes, it is correct, Chair. I'm responsible for Masui Lemasimin in the province, which is Phezuka Mkono now. We used to have an allocation from CRDP. So those high targets that you are seeing during the times when we were still getting an allocation for CRDP, which we are no longer getting. The other issue, Chair, that has made the targets to go down is the breaking down of the tractors. Even the 14,000, Chair, is a little bit too much for us, but we do have an option of using the local SMMEs. We pay them what we call a wet rate to complement the tractors that we have. So, in short, Chair, what I can say is that our targets are informed by the available resources. We are not here to complain, Chair. If you look also at the allocation of Ilima Letsema, we are the third contributor to the targets nationally. But if you look at our allocation, even those provinces that are contributing 2,000 hectares or 4,000 hectares are even getting more than what we are getting. So I am not complaining, I am just mentioning that also. That is also part of why our targets are dropping from 100,000. The other issue, Chair, is the cost of doing business. Diesel is going up. It has now become expensive for us. So those will be the issues, Chair, that have led to us dropping our indicators, Chair. Chair, there was also a question which MEC touched a little bit. I just want to add the issue of the elders. Chair, we are working with the commodity groups. Just last 2 weeks back, we had Cotton SA giving our farmers in Gomas certificates, accredited certificates. We are working with commodity groups to ensure that those elders who don't have skills get skills. And then we also work with TSB around the sugar cane in Nkwamazi also. And then we also have Bonsmara SA. We've got partners with them. They are assisting our beef producing farmers. And within the department chair, we also have a directorate that deals with farmer training. They are providing both non-accredited and accredited training. So the reopening of Marabzani chair is going to assist us big time because we did not have facilities to take our farmers to. So with the reopening of Marabzani, which will solely focus on the farmer training, our plan is to have farmers there chair for a period of at least 3 to 5 days, and then they will be sleeping there, and then they will be getting training and also doing practicals on those infrastructure that Program 2 is building for us, Chair. There was also a question, Chair, around... Okay, Chair, I think these are the questions that were related to me. The other questions will then be taken by Dr. Dagada. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I will therefore continue with the questions which are still not yet attended to. The first one that I will have to talk to, in fact, first of all, I will have to apologize to the committee. We indeed take this committee very serious, and we apologize where the information couldn't reach the expectation of the committee, and we will make sure that we add information and in writing and submit to the committee. The question that I will talk to now is the issue of the Marabzani. The Honorable Member asked the issue of Marabzani since it was started being built by the previous government. We will make sure that we compile that information. We will liaise with the relevant departments which were responsible then, as we inherited this building or structure of Marabzani from Department of Education. So we will ensure that we get this information in terms of how much was invested during the building of the original structures and up to the 54 million which we invested in renovation. So this information, Honorable Chair, through your permission, we will provide. The next question, in terms of veterinary clinic of Marabzani, indeed, it is a concern. What I can say now here is that with the 5 million that we indicated that we have put aside, the veterinary clinic is one of those infrastructure that we want to revitalize. One thing that is a challenge a bit here is that we have put everything in one bidding process or tender, which include revitalizing the water system in the college because it is not functioning now, the electricity in some of the buildings. So that I believe that immediately we finish all that connections, we will definitely have to use it as the province, and indeed we'll have to defend and make sure that the investment which have been put there is being utilized or is being used accordingly. In terms of the lease for PLUS, honorable members, the biggest challenge we had in the province, and it is a fact, is that there were projects which were leased by the rural development, and we couldn't know until when we start doing our visits as agriculture, because everywhere where there is farming, we realized that there were PLUS projects and they were leased. Some of them were leased for 5 years, some of them were leased for 30 years. Now, what happened is that on arrival of MEC, what he did, he called the management of rural development in the province, the PSSC, in the province, and he indicated very well how we need to start working. They have to plan. We have to plan with them. We have to implement with them. And that's why I indicated that This financial year, we have got monthly meetings per district with rural development, and we do have quarterly meetings with the provincial head office of all the directors there. And it is where now we are arresting this challenge that we have, where we find that there are piece and pieces done by another department and us agriculture on the other side. So on the issues of PLAS, that's where we had a challenge where we find that they were already leased for 30 years and we have to lease with the, we live with those 30 years. But it is something that as the department, we are working very, very closely with rural development, and we'll be able to respond to the questions which were raised. Like, for example, this one of the lease was for the PLAS. After the visit by the honorable members, we engaged the farmers, not only these two, but all other farmers who have got leases, and we had a meeting with rural development, and we agreed that they are going to give us letters in all these projects where agriculture is happening, and they have issued out the leases. Through the office of the HOD, she even wrote to the head of the PSSC to want the list of all the projects where they've leased them out, and to make sure that we intervene as agriculture and assist the farmers to have a better ownership and assistance that they are getting. The unfortunate part is that where there is a 13-year lease already, it is a legal standing contract. We just have to assist the farmers in making sure that he or she is getting all the support in that farm to produce and to make sure that he has got food on the table. That is what we are working now on. And also, honorable members, the issue of the departments doing agriculture work which we are not knowing as agriculture. It is true, it was easy during the era of the RDP because we used to sit in one committee. Now, through outcome 7 structures, we have just resuscitated those meetings where we sit with all the department, and they all account to us as agriculture what they are doing in their spaces which is relating to agriculture. And we have arrested a lot of development which was happening, and I believe that also we'll strive to get the report that honorable member was telling us about from the small businesses, so that we engage with colleagues in the province, and then we consolidate the development which is happening in the province. And we know that can be done, and it is possible. And we'll make it not only for small business, but also with other departments which are, and stakeholder parastatals which are implementing in the province, so that we harness and arrest all the development which are happening in the province. In terms of the differences, in terms of the figure, I'm in the same spirit with my honourable MEC because he's teaching us a lot of things. I just have to apologise any discrepancies. It was not intentional. So what we were looking here with on this document, that the table that we gave, we might have not put things the way we were supposed to put, and we will correct that. But the 8 million in the presentation that we did the day the honorable members visited was supposed to talk to the investment that needs to be done from beginning till the maize mill is finished, which is 8 million. And then when we break it down, it will be 1.7 million on the first phase, 741 on the second phase, and 6 million on the third phase, totaling to 8 million. I'm saying this to say to the members, I apologize. I will look at the figures again
and
check it.
Before we accept your apology, it's from 2011. Explain us what happened in from 2011. You're supposed to have built that processing plant. It was supposed to be 8 million. It's 5. From 2011 now, what you have spent there, how much was that? And because the figure is not, it's 700 and something thousand, is it for that two room and the borehole, or what is it, and why the project has not been implemented? Because I don't know whether CAST project has a right to exist until further notice. It must just be there forever without anybody, as long as you have put 20 rand, then you can come here and say, I actually put 20 rand there without project unfinished from 2011.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. Indeed, we noted what the Chairperson just indicated. We will therefore break it down from 2011 up to date in terms of the information. And we will also categorically put the costs thereof that have been spent. And then the next question, Chairperson and honorable members, which is not yet attended. I think on the issue of the honorable MEC indicated on the issues of the mentors and the payment of fees, this is what honorable indicated that in the department, unfortunately, we do not have this, but as a department responsible for accounting for agriculture and rural development, we will also attend to this one in terms of the mentors and the payment of fees. But what I can indicate to the committee is that rural development, what they do as part of, once they recap, one of the condition on the recap that I picked up is that for them to approve the recap, they have to give that farm or farmer a mentor. So all farmers were correct when they said we were given this mentor, because indeed they were given. In some of the farms when we arrive, we find that there is a person working with them, and we said, who are you? And they said, I'm a mentor appointed by rural development. I'm paid 5,000. Then we call rural development and we sit down and we indicate, because we need to get the value for our farmers in terms of this mentoring and strategic partnership. So it is a matter that we agree that it is our mandate, and we have to engage our sister department, rural development, to provide correct information to the committee. This is the same with Champagne Citrus. Honorable members, I have to indicate what was difficult with this project is, we, as the department, we assisted the farmers to have a farm manager. It was doing very well. I think the honorable members who visited it before, they will attest with me that it was doing very well. The cabinet in the province visited it. It was doing very well until the day that the farmers changed even the manager. And they said they want to have a partnership with them. Now, the challenge here is, because they are a CPA, there are some legalities in terms of us being involved in their decision-making. We were not happy about that, and they know that we are not happy about it, and they know we are engaging them, and they know that they have now opened doors for us to assist them, and hence I indicated that we have a new draft in terms of if they want to continue, because they are insisting that they want to continue with the strategic partner. If they insist, but this is how, because there is investment by government, and this is how the conditions need to be put in place. There is no way, as department, we will agree on the 70-30, because we have invested as government, and we have to safeguard that investment, and they understand that part. In terms of the plans for the agricultural graduates, In terms of, I will answer this question, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, going back to at least to what Honorable Skosana has just indicated. In fact, when I was explaining, Honorable Chair, in terms of incubators and incubators, I might have confused myself. The answer that I was answering then was about the incubator, not incubators. Incubator, these people who are teaching the youth. But in terms of these people who are being taught the incubators, Honorable Members, Honorable Skosana is 100% correct. We are dealing with three challenges, and we are successfully dealing with them. The land which is lying fallow, any part of the land which is not being used, through this program we are targeting it and we are getting it. In fact, we haven't reached the number of the farms that we have, and the people are coming forward with the municipalities, the Mahoshi, they are coming forward and saying, here is the land which is not being utilized, and we are getting it, develop it, and get youth to produce it. And secondly, we are dealing with the issues of aging farm. I always indicate to people that when you call a meeting of farmers, you will hardly find a person who is less than 60 years of age. Now, that is a concern as a sector. It means that as we are going on, then we need to understand that there will be a challenge. And we realize that the sector is not attracting young people. So that's hence we're saying through Fortune 40, you come up with the infrastructure, the land, you come up with the infrastructure, you come up with the training. And you, what another plan going forward is to introduce the value chain processing inside those farms. As we are doing, we are going to do with Delmas, where they are going to produce spices. just directly in the farm. So that is what we are trying to do. And thirdly, the issue of unemployment. There's high, as we know, Mpumalanga unemployment in terms of youth is very high, and we are successfully doing that, because so not only these young youth that are owning this farm or who have been trained, but while they're still in training, now they are expanding the production to an extent that they have to employ more also to come in. So I think Honorable Member assisted me on that one, and I think it's 100% correct. So what I was answering earlier is these incubators, the ones who are training, that we checked whether they have been in farming or in agricultural farming. And thanks for that, Honorable Member. Now, again, another question in terms of, I have already indicated that we will, from here, we will make sure that we get the report that the Honorable Member indicated for small business, because it has got a lot of bearing on what we are doing in terms of cooperatives. But also, Honorable Member was indicating that there are other committees that he was in, and there were other work related to agriculture. Would try to find out about that by engaging all the departments and the committees that visited them in terms of the reports. We can report in this next time we appear before the committee. So, okay, the next one towards the end. Who advised the CPA to enter into the 70-30? Indeed, when we were doing our intervention into this grass, we realized that there are people in the committee, in the CPA, who were having far much say than the rest of the committee, of the rest of the members. And we came to a conclusion that they are the ones who swayed the other members into this agreement. But as I indicated earlier, we indicated our unsatisfaction on this, and because we are a stakeholder in this farm, we indicated that this is not on and this not can be done. And they agreed, as I indicated, that they would want us to assist them. And us assisting them, because they have now entered into this partnership and they are insisting on continuing with this gentleman, we insisted that there is no way there will be these percentages which are seeing on the paper. A new draft has been done by the department, and both parties are looking at them. Huntington, Chairperson, Chairperson, you indicated that we need to be honest on our answering to this committee. I have to be honest with this project. I think this project is in the area where if on your day-to-day doing of duty you don't pass there, you would never know that there is a building or a structure which is going on. So only when we were reporting on AgriParks, because it is our department in the province which report on AgriParks, when we were going to report on AgriParks National, that they put that project, and it was the first time we're seeing it, and we had to call them. We went to the field. There was a project. If we were involved from the beginning, we wouldn't even have advised that it should be in the place where it is. But now it is there. We are working with them to correct, to make sure that farmers are involved, and to make sure that farmers are accessing that. Honorable Member indicated that they said they will hand it over to us. They have handed it over to the beneficiaries, not to the department. It is that is why in my presentation I indicated that we engaged the farmers whom it has been handed to, the SNHD cooperatives, who are happy that they have been given this, but we engage them in terms of how are they going to utilize it, how is it going to work, now that they've got a huge market of government nutrition, and we have got plans in place, and as I'm talking now, MEGA is also working with these farmers to make sure that it is being used as a consolidation center. So all farmers in that area, they will bring their products there, graded, packaged, and they will go to the hospitals and schools. But these honorable members, we are correcting it. As I've indicated, Honorable MEC called the meeting with all officials in rural development. Now they understand how we should work together.
Honorable Matal, can you not ask, because they'll come and present it properly with the rural development. That's why I've tried to help them to say, don't complicate your life. Rural development issues, leave it for that meeting.
Okay.
So that you'll come with them and account. Because MEC said, I'm MEC for rural development without mandate. Now you are reporting things that are not your mandate. So, you know, you are just opening for yourself for trouble here. Yeah. So leave those things as that is not your mandate. If you have entered in a friendship arrangement there, it's not how government operates. So leave those things for your, talk to your mandate and what is going to happen. We are going to have the meeting. If you are part, because I know MEC that most of officials of DAF, they are the board members of in those land plus projects and other things. You might find that is a board member, but we are not there today. We'll get you in that meeting where you're supposed to account. So don't complicate your life to that rural development things, Chief Director.
Okay.
Leave them. Because the question that will ask you, you'll get stressed and then you might miss your flight.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Yeah, I will leave it there. But just to say to Honorable Member, MEGA is our provincial one. It's Mpumalanga Economic Growth Agency.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I know that you might have follow-up, but it's about 2-1. But as we summarize, we'll summarize as follows so that this issue must not be off the agenda. because even the chair of chairs from legislature is here, will actually help us. I think what we need is that this report, MEC, you take it back, go and check the report that you have presented to us and response where you have not, the question we ask again because there's no clarity, clarify them. And DAF as they report on their quarterly basis report, they will specifically talk about this project. In previously we have done mistakes that we visited project and we are not doing follow-ups, and provinces, as we left, they lied to us in some instances. Now that we are not there, they're not doing anything about those projects. So we're meeting with DAF quarterly, so the report on this particular project must come to us as an update. And the consequence of not reporting in time or reporting what we want, MEC, is that you'll fly to Cape Town. And I know that the legislature is going to have a problem at some time of fruitless expenditure, reporting one thing in Cape Town. So the best way is to do your work properly so the DAF can represent you very well if you give them information. If you send information that still have questions, we'll call you to come and answer those questions. The better to prepare a report that will make you to stay in Mpumalanga and do the good job that you are saying you're going to do. And because your chief director is saying you're responsible for AgriParks, can we have that detailed report? How far are they with the programs? Because we have not entertained them because we're told that the rural development. But seemingly you're given responsibility and you know about it. So can we get that detailed report? Each agri-park, how you are planning to implement it, farmers around those agri-parks, specialties of those farmers. Can you listen to anything? Specific commodities that are going to be produced in those agri-parks. And then the plan, that's how you're going to utilize those agri-parks. we must have those reports. And the other thing, MEC, that we would like to raise with you as a portfolio committee is the challenge that we face in Mpumalanga of losing agricultural land to mining. So we'll request that as we are, the department is still producing a legislation towards protecting the land, I think through the engagement with economic development and minerals department, this thing of balancing the mining and agriculture is very important in the province, because we have lost a lot of maize farms to yes, and it's creating a backlog or a gap for South Africa, which will impact on the people of South Africa, that they will have to import maize from someone when we had that capacity. I think that's something that we just must raise it with you. And you know, MEC, one of the challenges that we face in department, which we are raising every day as portfolio committee, is consequence management of your officials who are not doing the job. You know, lying to portfolio committee is a criminal offense. It's just we don't want to implement it. So we want to, because we don't want to, we are not implementing it because we understand that we are dealing with human beings which have got families at home that need to be fed. But we'll expect the officials of government to respect honorable members that they've left their families to come and do their work in Parliament. So I think if we can have that line of respect, all of us would be happy. We don't have to, you know, go to files and get a legislation that will force you, MEC. Honorable Matali knows that in Limpopo, COPPA had to force Premier to remove the MEC. So we can do that, but we're not there yet. We still think people can be changed, can be the working change agents and do their work, because we need to build a cohesive society in this country. So please, Chief Director, you have spent more than 10,000 probably together with the MEC to come here. But information, if we go out and say these people, they spent 10,000 without nothing, it's embarrassing outside there. So please, let's work together and do as expected. And thank you very much, MEC, for your time. Yes.
Che, may I add on the incubators, because okay. We didn't, and it's under the department, since we couldn't get anything on the mentors, but the incubators are under the department, and I worked out, Che, I'm not sure if that information is correct, that was why I asked the question about the information, but if the amount of money per hour times the hours per month, incubators get paid 76,000 rand a month. So, Chief, we can also get some information about the incubators and the incubatees on those programs, because it's a good program as far as we could see, if that could be included, Chief, because there was mention in this report, but that we only got the hours and the amount per hour, nothing more.
Okay. Now, what we'll do, we're going to write the letter so that they don't claim the tool have not had, because we had the experience. That people come here, you think they are listening. When they come back, they said, no, we didn't hear what you said, Chair. We'll write official letter what we expect you to respond on. And honorable members, if there are things that you feel they must do, give it to Albertina, and then it will be incorporated in the letter to the MEC and copy to the portfolio committee and then and to DAF, to the minister, because the person who's accounting MEC here, the minister, actually you are representing minister. So the minister must get that copy, and even the report, before it comes here, we should make sure that the minister have that copy. So that's how we are going to finalize this input as in Mpumalanga and Albertina. Every month when we get the feedback on the APPs of DAF, we must get this project from Mpumalanga and other provinces that we have visited, just to get the progress, because already I got DAF DG, I got the report from the project of disabled people, for that matter, that were visited at Limpopo. When we were there, they were promised that they were going to be assisted in debushing. You remember? Debushing the other part of the farm. Since we have left, nothing has happened. And they've written us a letter as a portfolio committee that we have not get assistance. So all the projects that we have visited, retrieve them and then send back to the provinces and departments so that we get feedback. The rule of this committee is that if any official who does not submit in time, you must drag him here, must come and account for herself if he delays. If they don't give you a report in time, MEC, bring them here. And now they are going to pay for the ticket that they've paid. State paid for them. Thank you very much, MEC. Travel safe. And we want to appreciate your presence. And we want to hear the good news from Mpumalanga, because it's one of the provinces that produce food for our country, and we we hope to see very good progress in that area. Thank you very much. And we're adjourned for lunch. We'll come back. Oh, no, Chair, from Mpumalanga. Thank you very much, sir. And we hope that your visit here will help us to track this. Because we invite chairs mostly, or chairperson of the portfolio committee in particular, for them to make follow-up. As they do oversight, they should include that oversight that we do, just to get a progress report, so that at 2019, when we are not here, when the other portfolio committee goes to Mpumalanga, they must get changes in those projects that the portfolio committee has visited. And thank you very much for honoring our invitation. Thank you, Chair. The meeting is adjourned for lunch. Come back at 5:00. No, I was telling Honorable Matali and Maloy to say that we are supposed to finish at 5:00 for us to change buses from Parliament. But I know that we can deviate both from the department and present something else, and members can make a lot of preambles, and we end up in the 8:00 in the evening. So I'm ready as a chair to take it to that level, 1 a.m. Actually, I'm a night person. You know, in the afternoon, I become more energetic. So it depends on you. So as such, the officials must organize transport for members. So if we are ready to take it to that end. But I suppose we are going to be very quick. Department has done a lot of work. I suppose so. Welcome, DG, and your team, and we know that we were supposed to have the meeting tomorrow to get the report on the avian influenza, but because of other postponements that you have requested, We just thought we must club them with the quarter report. So, Doctor, we're in your hands.
Thank you, Honourable Members, colleagues. I will take you very quickly through the current situation on avian influenza, and maybe on behalf of the department through the Director General, maybe apologize for having given you a report yesterday, which was an attempt to update the previous one that we had already provided, because the situation is ever changing. I may also indicate that immediately after providing this report yesterday, we received another phone call with a report of another farm that may also be infected, but we are still awaiting the results thereof. Very briefly, the report will take you through the background. We have made an attempt to also put in some acronyms just for you, for your own understanding, but we basically only emphasized the difference between avian influenza, abbreviated SAI, and highly pathogenic avian influenza, abbreviated as HPAI. And then I will also take you through the current outbreaks, and then maybe appraise the Honorable Committee on actions that have been taken up to so far and our concerns from the economic impact point of view. Just briefly on that introductory slide, we attempted to also indicate to the member, Honorable Members, the distribution of the current strain of avian influenza throughout the world. Honorable Members will realize that it stretches all the way from the Far East into Europe, and then it also goes into North Africa, West Africa, Central Africa, and then now in South Africa. And I wanted to maybe also emphasize the actions that have been taken in particularly different areas of Africa. The topmost on the north there is actually Egypt, where they have decided to vaccinate against the disease, but I spoke to them last week and they have indicated that it was a wrong decision to have taken. And then in West Africa, they will see in Nigeria, where the approach they took was stamping out, and they seem to be very happy with the outcome, and they are very happy that they have been able to control the disease. Uganda, when I spoke to them last week, they indicated that because it is so hot, the disease died on itself. The DRC, they indicated that they still have big problems with the disease. And then yesterday, you may have received information that Zimbabwe, after they thought that they had the disease under control, it suddenly flared up again, meaning that there is quite a big challenge. I've spoken to the abbreviations, particularly on the AI and then also the HPAI. The others are quite well known. Briefly, as indicated already in the previous presentation, this virus affects mainly domestic and wild birds, but our lucky escape is the fact that it does not affect mammals like the H1N1 that we normally knew as swine flu, which also affected human beings. This one does not affect mammals, so it is not a zoonotic disease. And then just as background, to indicate that there are 16 hemagglutinins and 9 neuraminidase components of the virus that makes the classification much easier from a point of view of pathogenicity. We do have the low pathogenic avian influenza, but at the same time have the high pathogenic avian influenza. Normally, low pathogenic avian influenza causes very few mortalities, nor even very few clinical signs. But the high pathogenic avian influenza is characterized by the fact that it causes high mortalities and it affects quite a big number of birds at the same time. The virus can be shed in the fecal material of the birds, but it can also be shed through the respiratory secretions. And then the one very important thing is the virus can also be spread by human beings through shoes, through equipment, through vehicles, and so on. And that is why we do quarantine the farms whenever they are announced to have been infected. But we also advise the farms to restrict the movement between the affected farms and the unaffected sites, even if they are between the same farms. So the first outbreak in South Africa was announced on the 22nd of June. That was after we had announcements of outbreaks in Zimbabwe, but we had already been on the high alert as a country, particularly since Uganda had also announced outbreaks in early May. So we tried to send out messages to the poultry farmers out there. Up to so far, honorable members, we've got four commercial farms that have been affected. And as I indicated at the beginning of the presentation yesterday, after we sent this presentation, there was again another suspect farm in again in Standerton. And again, it's a very high-value breeding facility. And then we also had outbreaks in wild birds. We picked up two common weavers with the disease. We picked it up on a wild goose, wild Egyptian goose, and then we also picked it up in yellow-billed ducks. We also have one outbreak in birds that were kept as hobby birds around Vanderbijl Park. It was a mixture of geese, black swans, and other exotic birds. And then we went out there and culled the birds. But there is also an outbreak that has been now confirmed in backyard chickens. And the last two actually makes a huge difference from the point of view of the previous outbreaks that we have had, particularly in commercial establishments. There is one farm in Mpumalanga that had 7,000 birds, which was a small holder, in which we had to go in and cull all the birds in that farm. The other very important thing is maybe for the committee to take note of is although we are speaking about one virus, which is H5N8, we seem to have had two separate introductions, because we have a virus that is closely linked to the virus that actually caused outbreaks in Egypt in 2016. And then we have another virus that seems to be closely linked with the virus that is causing or that has caused outbreaks in Zimbabwe. And the first outbreak, unfortunately, that we detected in South Africa seem to be more related to the Egypt virus rather than the Zimbabwean virus. up to so far, whenever we do get a farm confirmed, we place the farm under quarantine. The most important part for the members to take note of is there has been many eggs that have been destroyed as a result of the outbreak, because we are quite concerned about the possibility of spreading the virus through the eggs. The last farm in Gauteng, 2 weeks ago, there were close to 3 million eggs that we were going to have to destroy. So there is quite a lot of loss of protein up to so far. And we have tried by all means to depopulate the affected sites. But there is a challenge related to depopulation. The main aim of trying to depopulate is to try to avoid a situation where there is a virus explosion, which may then render itself capable of being able to be transmitted through human beings, that is through their clothes, through vehicles, and so on. However, the challenge, although we have been working together with the CFO and the Director General to try and apply a policy wherein we try and isolate farms that are at risk and then depopulate those farms to avoid a virus explosion. We are not in any way are trying to reward poor biosecurity, but we are only trying to avoid a situation where we can get the virus to spread further than where it is confined up to so far. The manure and the carcasses are either buried or composted, and then we also try to keep the farms unoccupied to the beds until at least double the incubation period, which is deemed to be about 21 days. So basically it's to keep the farms unoccupied with beds for at least 42 days. Initially, when the outbreak was announced, the department attempted to even ban the sale of live chickens in residential areas and townships, but we also thought that it could be a very bad move from a point of view of food security, and the minister, after advice given by the poultry industry and then also by the department, made a decision to unban that movement on condition that the sellers of the poultry are registered, and there is an attestation that the farm from which the birds were purchased did not show any signs of disease. This map is an attempt just to show the honorable members where the outbreaks have been. They seem to be all associated with water bodies. The first outbreak, as we rightfully know, was very close to the Vaal River. The farm in Standerton also had a lot of water bodies around it. The farm in Leandra also had lots of water bodies. Even the farm in Boksburg, there were lots of water bodies around it. But the biggest concern, as depicted in this map, we can see that the distances are not as small as we may think they are. That bottom triangle and the top triangle, that is basically from Standerton to Centurion in Pretoria. And that is the worrying part, that although it looked to be very localized, it is actually not as localized as it may look. If you look at the trapezium, Van der Bijl Park, Vaal, Standerton, Leandra, and then all the way up to Centurion and Boxback. It's quite a big stretch. This is an attempt maybe to show the honorable members the economic impact. Up to so far, the virus seems to be affecting our long-lived birds. It is affecting the layers and the breeders. From the breeding point of view, the worry is the breeders are breeders for the layers and then also breeders for the broilers. So this disease is not only taking away meat protein from the table, it is also taking egg protein from the table. And the other big concern is this is one of our biggest industry. In terms of value, it is the largest segment of South African agriculture at 18%, followed by the beef segment. So at this moment, our 46.8 billion rand industry is at risk. And if we can only manage to contain the disease so that it doesn't spread further than it is at this moment, it will really help in preserving a very dedicated industry in the agricultural sector. This slide is only trying to show the impact in terms of trade. There are some countries that have banned imports from South Africa. Mostly all the local SADC members had actually banned imports from South Africa. But there is something that is still going for us as a veterinary service, as a Department of Agriculture. Long before we had this outbreak, we had established a system of compartments wherein the biosecurity levels within compartments is so high that we believe it should prevent the entry of any disease. So majority of these countries, Namibia, Botswana, Swaziland, Mozambique, have now agreed that we can export only from compartments. So that actually helps from a point of view of still being able to maintain our export markets. But there is a number of other countries that have slapped a ban on South Africa. The European Commission have actually, Norway, Iceland, and then Switzerland have slapped a ban on South Africa. Then Hong Kong has also slapped a ban, Israel, and the United Arab Emirates. But some of them have actually placed some conditions of export, particularly if you look at Hong Kong. It has basically isolated Mpumalanga and Gauteng province that has been affected, but the other provinces, they can still be able to import from. We also attempted to try and quantify in terms of losses up to so far, which might increase. In the first farm, basically we culled around 190,000 hens, and their egg production capability has gone down by 190,000. The second farm, 256,000, and those were our triple eggs. The first ones were hatching eggs. But maybe the story that I must also tell is the farm in Boxback, where initially when we made a diagnosis, we had 120,000 chickens that were actually diagnosed as having had the disease. But we tried so much to prevent infection of the other 240,000. In actual fact, we ended up advising that they should be culled because we were so afraid that they will be infected and that it will multiply the virus by 240 times. But we ended up not being able to implement that decision because there was a situation where the farmers were saying they cannot slaughter out their healthy chickens unless there is going to be compensation. But although we could not get the funding on time, that farm, those 240,000 chickens ended up being infected. But on the left-hand side, we're also trying to show the number of jobs that have been lost from the four farms that have been affected up to so far, 224 up to so far. And that is an attempt to try and summarize the current situation. The latest farm that has been reported to having had suspicious signs is another farm in Standard 10, Honorable Chair. And it also happens to be a breeding farm. And those are high-value chickens, high-value poultry, costing close to R1,000 per chicken. So it is a big concern that our breeder farms are actually really getting decimated. And thank you. If there is additional information in terms of the current situation, we will try and forward the information to the chairperson for circulation to the honorable members. Thank you, chairperson.
Thank you very much, Dr. Honorable members, that is a presentation, questions for clarification, Honorable Maloy and Honorable Sage.
No, Chair, I only have one question because Dr. Modisani will recall that we had this presentation. So from page 1 to page 9, it was just a repetition. And in our last meeting, what we said that when we come back, we want an update, just to update us. And I think the update is about one farm which has been affected. Yeah, that is the update. The only question which we posed in that meeting, which I thought you'll be able to update us on, it was on the compensation. You will recall that in that meeting, that was towards end of June, you had said you have made submission to Treasury. Just to give us an update as to how far are you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to disagree with my colleague, but I think there were more farms that from the first, because in the discussion of that first meeting, there were two farms, as far as I know, and the thing of the wild birds in another farm yesterday is concerning to me, Chairperson, and I would like to find out the number of birds. I'm not sure on that one slide, I thought it was the numbers, the production losses, this one, 14, if that is the one that says 120,000 stable eggs. I just want to confirm the number of birds and eggs that has been disposed of up till now. Chairperson, I just wanted to find out also about the compensation. Then, the last time we were discussing advertising and also notification of farmers, I want to find out if that has happened and if the notices are on the ground, if people are aware and know where to go to when they suspect bird flu, especially on the wild birds, wild birds, and also on live birds that people are selling. I think most of the poultry houses, people might know what's going on. I'm concerned about other community members. Then, this morning, Chair, I think we saw when we saw Mpumalanga, the veterinarian post that's unfilled. What does the rest of the country look like? Do you have enough people on the ground? what is the number of veterinarians that you're having on the ground, actually, in fact, to look for outbreaks, to do the testing and that kind of thing? Who's helping you with that? Then, Chairperson, what will be the effect of this, the breeder farms that's affected? Because I was also speaking to some of the people, and I think that's a big concern. What could be the knock-on effect? How many of these breeder farms do we have? Is it up till now, is it maybe 5% of farms affected, or 10, or 1%, or 0.? You know, that we think, ah, it's nothing, it's only 0.01% of breeder farms so far affected. Because if we start, have to kill, I don't know,